on this episode of Podigious.
I actually like Davis.
See? Now you can't throw me off the podcast. You are just as filthy as I am.
His hormones overflowed into Vemon.
They're in the same year, but they're digivolving senpai. That's a thing.
And then it's like, boom, there's Thing Mom, bitches.
You're gonna need your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Podigious.
Welcome to Podigious, episode 206. United we dilly-dally shilly-shally.
Adventure 02, episodes 22 through 29.
Digivolution, Convolution, Real or Not Real, and Itchy Joe Bros.
Recorded January 1st, 2015.
I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
Hi.
And Asher Softman.
Hey.
This episode of Podigious is brought to you by Arukenimon Spirit Needles, the best artificial Digimon control spires can buy. Purchase a single thread if you want to get back at a friend that pissed you off the other day, or a bundle of threads if you want to start mapping out your plans for world domination. Arukenimon Spirit Needles, supplying episodic villains to murder without moral consequence since 2002. Okay, so we're trying something new this week. We want to make the listeners, all of you, involved more in our unanswered questions and ridiculous dialogue draft segments. And we often get people sending us feedback, you know, with their own unanswered questions or ridiculous dialogue draft picks. And we thought it'd be cool to actually open up that to be an established thing. So we want you after each episode to, if you're watching the episodes along with us, to send us your unanswered questions. Or maybe it's things that we remind you of that you have unanswered questions about and your ridiculous dialogue picks from the episodes. And then in the segment, beginning of next episode, we'll read the best ones from the audience submissions. So that should be fun. Hopefully send us good stuff. You better send us good stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. We have a brief bit of news. So on January 28th, the Nare Nare DigiA countdown on DigimonAdventure.net was blocked by Demi Devimon or Pico Devimon. And yeah, I've kind of actually been delaying recording this feedback segment, which we're recording like right before putting out the episode, because of this, because I was afraid of news coming out and then we'd have to re-record it. So I've kind of been delaying, hoping there'd be news, and it's been blocked for at
Y'all
this point.
Y'all are nodding too quickly. For
this point,
this.
Like 10 days, and yeah, it's been pretty silent. So, and watch
no
as soon as we record this, they're gonna be
for you, yeah.
As soon as we record this, there's gonna be news like in 5 minutes, and then.
Salty, all that salt.
And now into feedback about episode 205, Full Digital Alchemists, was probably the title, I don't remember.
Pretty sure that was the title.
So the first piece of feedback comes from ShawneeMac23 on our comment section, and we got into a thread discussion about this. Start off with him saying, I always find it really funny, even though it's somewhat of a trope, when the quiet one, if you can call TK that, snaps. It's always such a fun turning character when that happens, but it's such a shame that nothing really comes of it. And so I replied, Ashley and I have recently watched the episodes where he snaps again later on in future episodes of the podcast that have already been recorded. And I was kind of saying I was kind of bored of it, but that one cool thing that could have happened is if TK's righteous anger towards darkness, if he took it too far and kind of showed the duality of light and dark and how light taken to an extreme can be just as bad. And yeah,
how would he be light anymore, or would he just have gone into darkness?
I think he would still be light. I think there's a degree. I don't think light taken to extreme becomes darkness. I think you can be so concerned about being morally vindictive of people that have done wrong that you're still doing quote unquote good. You're still punishing people that are bad, but you have such a strong sense of justice, such a strict sense of justice that you punish people who have not really done bad. That doesn't necessarily make you evil, per se. It just puts you at the far end of the good versus evil spectrum, which I think is just as dangerous as being evil, potentially. But it's not something we see.
Jeffrey is doing scare quotes around evil.
Yeah. But then, so ShawneeMac23 had a really interesting reply, because it's been a while since I've seen Tamers, and he mentioned that hypothetical situation of Magna Digimon killing Black Rock Raymon is kind of what happens with Beelzemon and Dukemon or Gallimon in Tamers, and that Jerry basically has to stop Takato from killing Beelzemon. And so he had an interesting observation that Tamers in a lot of ways feels like the fulfillment of Zero Two's wasted potential, which, from what I remember of Tamers, definitely feels true. And the way a lot of the things that in rewatching Zero Two has made me be like, ugh, it's not as good. I can't wait for Tamers. So that's exciting.
I just feel like they're not similar. Like, I don't really remember the specific actions that happen in Tamers. And
you don't remember Zero Two either. You don't even know what's going to happen in the next episodes.
Yeah, no, but like, I just feel like they're so totally different and whatever that, like, the similarities for me are like.
Yeah, the similarities, sure. The Tamers aren't entirely, it's not 100% connection. It's not like, TK is definitely the light character. He does not have the crest of light, but, you know, he has the angel. Whereas Takato is not like purity and goodness and hope. You know, he's like the middle ground, nerd character. He doesn't have quite the same symbology the same symbolism that Tika carries with him that would make the whole like light versus dark thing as apt, but I think it is kind of a stereotypical revenge is bad, kids. Message instead of a
revenge is bad,
right? So it's not quite the like light can be bad message, but it would make sense to me with Kanaka having been one of the people involved in some of the scenario design of Zero Two to have been frustrated with certain aspects of how it went down, to then in creating his own story with having much more control over it to get some of those things that he thought didn't work quite well to do them right, and probably inferring too much by this. Because we don't actually know what happened exactly, but
all I know is that his episodes now just feel frustrating in Zero Two because I'm like, why do I care about any of these evil Digimon that I introduced?
Yeah, I don't think we should get too ahead of ourselves by talking about Daemon Core. I haven't even watched Daemon Core.
Spoilers, we're watching Daemon Core.
Okay, the next piece of feedback is actually really ancient, embarrassingly ancient. That I have kept forgetting to include in the feedback section. I forgot one episode, then Ashley got the feedback the next episode, and she didn't know that I had been meaning to include this, and then, so here we are, it's from episode 203. Episode 203, which was the episode about Dagomon/Dragomon. Okay, so this feedback, came about because John Summers thought we were using the wrong name for Dagomon/Dragomon. The Japanese name is Dagomon, and the English translation is Dragomon, but since he's not actually mentioned in the episode in the dub, they don't actually say Dragomon. And I, throughout the episode, and since still use Dagomon, in kind of a silly case where I prefer using the original Japanese name instead of the dub name, even though I prefer the dub canon for this whole discussion, because I like how Dagomon seems like a more explicit reference to the entity is based on Dagon than Dragomon sounds like it's a dragon and seems like
it
seems like a pretty silly name. And I think it came about because Japanese transliteration, like a Japanese translation of the word dragon would say dagon. Wait, let me see. Check this. So dragon, doraga.
So I was like, wouldn't it be doraga?
Right. So in Japanese, they wouldn't be able to say dragon. So I could see a translator seeing Dagomon, maybe misinterpreting it as thinking it was supposed to be Dragonmon and inferring that R back in there. But I mean, in Japanese, dragon would be Doraigon. There would be an R in there, Dora, but whatever. Anyway, we were speculating about why Dagomon instead of Dragonmon, whatever. And, Ocelotl Chimalpahin, still don't ever know how to pronounce that name. Mentioned that Dagomon may have been changed in the English version because it sounds too much like a racial slur, Dago, which is, looking on Wiktionary, it's a slang in the UK referring to people of Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, or other Mediterranean descent. And in the US and Australia, it's slang referring to people of Italian descent. And it's a, like, offensive racial slur in both those instances. And I feel kind of bad that I was not aware of this. I mean, it does show that I don't really know people of Italian descent. Especially, I mean, so the UK slang seems much more all-encompassing of lots of Mediterranean cultures. But in the US, apparently it is used in the US, and I just don't know because I don't have any Italian friends. So apologies for that if we use that and it's offensive to you.
I just feel like also maybe, you know, we use racial slurs less these days.
Maybe.
I like to keep my hopes up.
Yeah. So the last piece of feedback is kind of big, and it's not directed directly towards us, but it was in response to us. So we feel it's worth at least mentioning and expressing our points on air. And it was kind of this lengthy discussion that was brought up on Tumblr. So there's this initial post from Adventure Hearts on Tumblr.
And it's all about how, you know, it initially starts being like, this podcast is great, but it only talks about the American dub. And that really takes me out of it because I don't understand why, you know, fans of the dub are never curious about the sub and all these things. Just, it becomes like, you know, the American adaptation is a whole different show, and these hardcore fans of Digimon, or purportedly hardcore fans of Digimon, don't ever watch the subs. What's up with that? Can somebody explain this to me?
Yeah, and there's a degree of condescension in the post. I wouldn't say it's like extreme, but there is a degree of, you know, it's obviously a worse show. So I don't understand why people are putting up this worse show instead of going and watching the better show. If they're hardcore fans, they should just go and watch the better show. And so our stance for the podcast itself, kind of, we chose the dub as a starting point, and there really wasn't even much of a discussion for us, really. You know, when we decided we wanted to do a podcast, it was kind of the obvious thing. Cause I mean, this is what we were more attached to. And I think we all have a degree of we all have to a degree intellectual and curiosity about the rest of the Japanese versions, but it's not what we are emotionally attached to. And we would like to, at someday, cover the Japanese versions as their own entity on the podcast. That is so far away that it's kind of even hard to talk about. Because, I mean, you know, at this pace we've gotten through, we're aiming to finish Zero Two within a year, almost to the date of starting the podcast. Which means our initial goal was kind of, we're going to be covering 4 to 8 episodes per podcast, and maybe we can even have a podcast per week, which would mean we would plow through the series, basically. You know, we could, if we had 8 episodes per podcast, we could cover 8 seasons in a year. And it is not, we have not met that expectation.
That is just unrealistic.
That was extremely unrealistic. We've had to go to a much slower release schedule and bank of episodes, and we don't like covering 8 episodes per podcast. So it's come down to about 2 seasons per year, which would mean at this pace, we have 4.5 more seasons, and also try coming out. So if we continue at this pace, we would, you know, finish in 2.5 years, or no, right, 4.5. We would finish in more than 2 years, and then we could consider going for another 3 years with the Japanese version. And none of us feel committed to doing this podcast for, 6 years? That's a major chunk of our life too.
We don't even know what we're doing next month.
Right. Like. that's a long ways away. So, right. I mean, that's what it comes down to. In the early days of the podcast, I think I may have mentioned on the air that I intended to watch the Japanese versions too before we recorded, thinking that I would have a more comprehensive understanding of everything we were covering. And in addition to not having time for that, I realized that was a bad approach because the few times I do watch both Japanese and dub versions, I get extremely confused about what happened in which.
Yeah, it becomes so confusing. Like the one time that I watched both, I was like, I can't even keep this straight anymore. I have no idea what happened where.
Right, so. So if I wanted to actually watch the entire Japanese version and cover it, it would be as its own thing, not as supplemental material to this podcast. And I think we do draw from the Japanese version for miscellaneous trivia, just to understand things more and like kind of get a deeper insight to what's going on in the show, especially at times when it becomes extremely obvious the dub that was compensating for something. And it becomes extremely obvious that there was a dub change. And so this person, Adventure Hearts, mentioned early on that like, they tried listening to the podcast and kept coming to instances where they were like, that is explained by the original version, or X would never say that, or that was just made up by the translators. And I mean, we would love to hear that feedback, right? Like, when things like that are obvious, having not seen the original version recently and having not understood every nuance of it, because I was, you know, not listening, not watching the subtitles, and I don't understand Japanese fully, I try to look into those things, but we can't catch everything, especially because of those disclaimers. So
I mean, that's the whole point, is that like they acknowledge somewhere in this post that like the American version is a completely different show, right. And it's like, yeah, so it's completely, that's how we view it,
right? That's how we try to approach it. They're different, there's a different show, and there's a difference between, we're not trying to cover both, but sometimes when it's an extremely blatant difference, we like to cover it. So I mean, I'm just saying that like that kind of feedback is invited. you know, that someone shouldn't feel discouraged watching the show because they had not seen the dub. But I mean, they should know that, like, more, if you hate the dub, have never seen the dub, if only the Japanese version, the podcast might not be for you.
It's probably not for you. We have whole segments just making fun of the dub.
Yeah, that's true. And so to a couple of the points they mentioned, there's a question somewhere of, you know, like, so they mentioned the American canon is so prevalent that it becomes impossible to ignore by the rest of us. And they're kind of like, why is it so prevalent? And it's like, because that was what was shown here, because that's what we all have an attachment to. I don't think that's unreasonable to expect you to have more of an attachment to it. And maybe this will break the heart of some of the hardcore Digimon fans listening to this podcast, but we don't make the show explicitly and just for the hardcore fans. We make it for everyone who likes Digimon. We make it for people who...
Yeah, I'm not a hardcore fan of Digimon, guys. Sorry.
we make it for the people who, you know, maybe haven't rewatched it ever. Maybe they watched it 15 years ago and we're inspiring them to rewatch it. Or, you know, they'll listen along for a while, having not rewatched it, and then rewatch it later. You know, we want to get people back into the fandom. Or, you know, they don't have to engage enough to be to consider them as part of the fandom. They just listen to podcasts, learn more about it and stuff. They don't need to be part of the fandom. So that's one of the reasons why we focus on the dub. And why, you know, narrowing ourselves to just people who have sought out the Japanese version isn't quite our goal.
It's also, I just never subscribe to the belief that, like, if I watch a show in Japanese, that I'm getting the full authentic what it's supposed to be in Japanese. Because, like, I'm not Japanese. Yeah, there's plenty of context that is completely lost on me because I'm an American. And I'm like, fine, there's no such thing as authenticity in this case.
And so there's a reply to this post discussing the different, how they originally saw the dub. And we'll have this reply from, I don't know how to pronounce this Tumblr username, which is Guidione. Might be short for something. Anyway, their title of their blog is Inner Fangirl.
That's so much easier.
But it's not very specific because everyone's an inner fangirl. I have an inner fangirl. And, right.
You probably do.
So they talk about, like, they originally saw the dub as a kid. They've watched Japanese version since. And, you know, they like certain things about both, which is how I feel, too. And so it's not even, I don't even think it's true to say that the one is just better in every aspect. And even if the Japanese version were objectively, which there's no such thing, better in, like, across the board considered better, it's about degrees of better. You know, like, it doesn't become this amazing show that is critically well received by everyone and transcends the genre of children's television. Like, you know, the Japanese version is still a children's show. It's still a children's show made to sell toys. And yeah, we all agree.
Monsters who fight each other.
Right. And we all agree there's something to that. We all like that for some reason, but it's not like it becomes the pinnacle of perfection when you go and watch the Japanese version. So, and so in addition to there being levels of quality and not being this huge gap in quality, there are levels of devotion, right? Like, so like you can be a big fan of Digimon and not have time to watch, you know, to experience adventure in both your nostalgic memories of the dub and the pure Japanese version. That's 100 episodes, you know, that's a lot of time to commit to. And that's just one season. You know, like watching five seasons would be 500 episodes. That's not even the whole, like, there's 6.5 seasons, right? Like,
I could watch Bleach instead.
Well, that's a different story. That actually makes it seem minor. You could just, that's just one series, right?
Bleach is shorter than that.
Oh yeah, Bleach is like not that long. But yeah, I mean, it's that takes a lot of devotion to do that. But,
you know, we like to watch other things sometimes.
Right. I mean, I feel like, as much as I love Digimon, I think there are better shows. Like, I don't think that's that kind of controversial opinion. And so one analogy they mentioned, which I thought was worth calling out, was that it would be like a Harry Potter fan who had only seen the movies and hadn't been interested in reading the books to see the original version they're based on. And that's a convincing analogy. But the way I think of it is actually that's a big gap in the adaptations. You know, that's like a huge gap. And there's a gap in the Japanese and English versions of Digimon. I will not deny there's a gap, and it's a big gap, but it is not that huge by far. There's a big difference in those gaps. And so what I would liken it more to is, why do fans of Harry Potter in America not go back and read the British versions of the book? Because there are differences. They refer to flashlights as lanterns. They refer to elevators as lifts, I believe. And like the
first book has a different title.
Oh yeah, that too. I think my original copy of the second book I had was from England because my mom had visited. And there was a time before the releases were worldwide synchronized or whatever. So, like, there was a time when the third book was out in the UK before it was out in America. And so she went during that time and was, like, going to get me the third book. But she couldn't find it. She got me the second book instead, which is already out in America. So, like, I don't know why she got me that. But anyway, the version of that I read was the UK version. But, right, so that's... It's a little unfair to compare it to that, because that's, like, extremely small differences. You know, it's just, like, some terminology is different, and none of the tone or anything has changed, which definitely happens in adventure. But, right, like, there are degrees, like, at some level of, like, being such a passionate fan of Harry Potter, it would be, of course, you have to read the British versions, right? You know, and that's an unrealistic standard to expect people...
I would just never think that.
Right, so I'm saying it's a sliding scale, and there's a bigger gap in... There's a bigger quality gap for Digimon, and a bigger gap in difference, but it still requires a lot of time, and so, like, yeah. It's not quite as easy as a, like... If you're a fan, you should go back and watch the Japanese version. Which, I mean...
There's a part of me that honestly thinks that if the Japanese version takes itself as seriously as I've perceived it to, that it's actually way less fun anyway.
See, I don't think it does. Like, I think a lot of people hold up as being this, like, everything is better and, like, it's so much more serious. And it's like, they still have poop jokes and you're like, it's still...
There's still poop jokes. It's true.
And it's still, like, the core of the both series is still so similar. And a lot of what we complain about is kind of stuff that isn't the dumb. You know, like, stuff like Apocalypse complaining about the pizza. You know, that kind of stuff is just, like, is not...
That's pretty bad, though.
Right. There's a lot of stuff that we consider pretty bad that, like... But it's still what we love. You know, like, we're not... When we say it's pretty bad, we're not like, why do we even do this podcast? Like, we don't even like Digimon, guys. Like, no. It's like, we acknowledge this is bad, but we still love it. We still have really strong memories of as a kid. And we have meandered so much...
So much meandering.
So if you...
I blame you.
The reason I think we thought it was worthwhile to discuss this post at depth is because it's like, you know, an attitude we see a lot in the fandom of people being dismissive of people who just watch the dub. And
it's an attitude I see about a lot of things, which is essentially just elitism about any aspect of any media.
Yeah.
Fight elitism. Take it down. Chill out.
Part of anime culture is about, like, having encyclopedic knowledge about things and showing superiority. And I think this is one way in which it manifests. We're not trying to say that this post is extremely elitist or offensive or anything like that. I mean, what we're trying to say is, like, this behavior on a whole, writing off people who like the dub.
I mean, it's essentially like, are you a real fan or not? Are you a real gamer? Like, stop that stuff, guys.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, there is some aspect to, like, if someone considered themselves, like, a diehard fan of Harry Potter and they hadn't read the books, part of me would be like, okay, that's weird, right? So I think, like, to that point on the spectrum of the differences, and but also that comes down to, like, so many people have read the books that, like, is kind of expected of you at this point.
And if you haven't read the books, like,
well, I mean,
what are you doing?
I actually don't know, because we grew up in a time where we grew up with the books, and the movies came after the fact, or, like, kind of tied in with some of them. But we don't know what it's like to grow up with the books being a secondary thing that people experience after watching the movies. Maybe that is what kids these days, they watch the movies and only the diehard fans read the books. But it would be different if, like, Digimon Adventure was something that, when you mentioned Digimon, most people were referring to the Japanese version. That's just not true. And I don't think it ever will be, you know, because that's not what, it's a niche of a niche, as opposed to Harry Potter, which became, like, extremely mainstream. Yeah. I mean, it will be interesting. I mean, part of this post was talking about, like, what's going to be like when all these people who are fans of the dub watch Try, like, it's going to happen. Like, it's going to be so, they're going to get culture shock. Like, is it going to be so different? And I think there's going to be a degree of people being like, who's Koshiro? And things like that. But
I don't know. I
don't think people are going to be like, who's Koshiro? But they're going to be like, oh, that's hard to get used to or something. They're going to make comments to that effect. And but I really don't think it's going to be that huge of a deal. There will be some weirdness of blending, you know, like Tai and Tai Chi's characters or Matt and Yamato's characters. I don't think those characters are so far different from each other that it will matter. You know, like, I think the difference between Tai Chi as a, I forget the ages now, as an 11-year-old or whatever, the difference between Tai Chi in 1999 and Tai Chi in 2007, whenever it's the set, is going to be bigger than the difference between Tai Chi and Tai, probably. So I don't think there'll be that much difference.
True facts.
Well, true speculation, because we haven't seen the series
yet. Speculation, and if it's not true, then this show has failed.
And so yet again, Ashley and I finished up recording feedback and we were like, yep, close the book on that. Good job. Let's go to sleep. And then remembered we didn't mention the ridiculous autograph poll results. So here we are back. This time it's only a minute later. This time is not like one time.
One time it was like a day.
I think it was actually the same day. I think it was two episodes ago. And we actually weren't. We were traveling and staying in our parents' houses. We were separated and we were recording with a phone. And Ashley had something to do, and
Gosh, forgot about that one.
we finished up, we finished the call, whatever, we went off to do other things, and then I was like, Ashley, we didn't record the poll results. We had to do everything over. And then she was just like so mad at me.
I think we had several calls, you know what?
That was like the third time.
It was a bad day.
But yeah, not as bad as that. So anyway, so I was secretly trying to guess not record this because I did not do well.
Oh, but you were so you were so happy that you didn't do well last week.
Yeah, so I was happy last time because I actually had one of my picks had zero votes. And I thought that was shooting the moon and, you know, that was something to be proud of. This time, someone, I think out of spite, gave me one vote on one of my poll results. So yeah, so I don't have any with zero and I have my total was four votes. So yeah, one had three, one had one. I think that person who gave me the one vote on the one was just like, I said zero, I'm not gonna let Jeff win at losing again. So yeah.
Jeff,
so
better quotes these days.
They are good. They're good. People just are biased. So the number one pick was Ashley's from episode 20, the one about the person who saves Princess Kari and said sci-fi.
Everybody loves a Kari burn. Kari burn.
And then second pick, which I am surprised by, I mean, I just haven't seen A Christmas Carol, whatever Christmas movie it's based on, is Asher's pick in episode 90 about, you know, Armand being like, used to love to turn to Justin, and Ken being like, bah, humbug.
You haven't seen A Christmas Carol?
Is that what it's from?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think I've seen the Doctor Who episode it's based on.
Right? Oh, okay.
Wait, is that the one with the ghosts?
Yeah, that Christmas was Past.
Yeah, that was a Doctor Who episode. It was really good because it worked with time travel and like he made like he was the ghost of Christmas Future. Okay. Like his like grandfathery old self who like went and
was he Scrooge and
yes
Tim, was he all of the characters?
I don't know if he was Tiny Tim. I guess there was no Tiny Tim character, but he basically like brought Scrooge back to his childhood self to show him what it grew up to be. Anyway, and the third pick was Andrew's. So everyone was in the top three except for me. Thanks, guys.
And there's four, so you know, one of us. one of us.
Right, at least one of us, but it could have been like, but like, I'm the only one excluded. So anyway, it was Andrew's episode 18, the one about like, we have Davis with us, what could possibly go wrong? Which I thought was the best one. That one should have won.
No!
I'm just inserting my editorial opinion.
Okay, no. this is wrong.
And so ranked by hosts, Ashley came in first place. Asher came in second place, Andrew in third, and me in last. Which is actually weird. That's the first time I think it's actually corresponded with the top picks. Like, Ashley was first, Asher second, Andrew third. And, Ashley has, like, over three times as many votes as I got total. Thanks, guys. Woo! Thanks.
Party.
We pick up after Ken decides to stop playing video games all day.
In episode 22, Davis cries Wolfman. We learn that washing one's hands frequently is a good practice to follow, especially after cleaning up the digital world from digital junk all day. Hand washing also allows Vmon to digivolve into Champion Mega Dancermon, who impresses Kari and Gatomon with his expert ballet skills.
In episode 23, Genesis of Evil, Ken sleeps for half an episode as he recovers from his recent Digimon Emperor all-nighters, and soap bubbles teach us about the death of his big brother, Sam. Also, when Ken was younger, he wandered through the digital world with some random guy, but that's probably not crucial to the Digimon multiverse.
In episode 24, If I Had a Tail Hammer, Ken's phallic spires begin reactivating after he starts having dreams about a woman visiting him in bed. Cody's grandfather teaches him a lesson about the flexibility of yogurt, which he applies by letting his armadillo evolve into a dinosaur.
In episode 25, Spirit Needle, the kids debate whether to let Ken into their middle school clique. Mimi's new hairstyle summons everyone to the digital world to protect the Hoover Dam. They debate the ethics of murdering a pile of rocks, then discover the rocks aren't real, and Hawkmon digivolves into an eagle to gleefully commit homicide.
In episode 26, United We Stand, the kids repair a bridge, and then repair a metaphorical bridge with Ken. The mysterious woman uses up 10 control spires to create a grayscale Kuwagamon, and Dai Ken becomes canon, as XVmon and Stingmon combine to put a bucket on their head.
In episode 27, Fusion Confusion, Ken returns the Crest of Kindness, and Bucket Dragon destroys the portal to the grayscale Instagram filter to neutralize Ken's hot potato base. Ken continues to be Tsundere. Izzy teaches a DNA Digivolving 101 lecture, and digs up new plot holes to fill in some old ones.
In episode 28, The Insect Master's Trap, now that the Crests are officially out of the picture, the dub writers focus their premature name-dropping skills on Aru Ken, the mysterious woman. The kids cash in on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids nostalgia while ignoring General Akbar's advice, re-ambuscades.
In episode 29, Aru Kenimon's Tangled Web, Yoli makes a podcast to negate the insect-controlling flute and reminds us that computers used to be really big. The mysterious woman turns into a spider, is saved by a mummy, and together Jessimon and Jamesmon ride off into the sunset. Actually, isn't Mummymon's voice actor actually James?
Really?
Wait, are you serious?
I don't know, he sounds like him. Maybe not.
Ooh, he does, though. Now we have to look it up.
It's been so long since I've seen Pokemon. I don't remember.
They might be different studios. I don't really know.
Kirk Thornton? It looks like he's just done Digimon stuff.
Oh.
Boo. That would have been amazing. Amazing.
But apparently he's also never mind. Just Gabumon.
Hmm.
I gotta say Gabumon.
He doesn't sound at all like Gabumon.
I don't know. Everyone sounds different to me.
I could see him being Gabumon, though.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay, so I guess we do favorites next, right?
Yes, we do, Jeffrey. You always have a million, so why don't you start us off?
Okay, so favorites. Yeah, I do have a lot this time.
What? How? Okay, tell us.
Okay, so favorite episode. I kind of had a hard time choosing this because I was like, I'll start with my least favorite, actually, is episode 22, the first one we watched, Davis Cries Wolfmon.
Well, obviously. Let's all get that out of the way right now.
There is no well-written Davis episode. Like, he can be really good in other episodes, but not when they're about him.
Mm.
It's just that whole episode was so silly.
It didn't make sense, really.
Yeah.
I appreciate it on a level of, like, it is a nice way to change the tone and pace from the Digimon Emperor arc. To show, like, okay, now they have lots of free time and they just can fool around and while they're cleaning up stuff, like, it effectively got that done.
They only have free time for this episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still a little laid back in the next episodes following that, except for like a couple lines where like Tika's like, we don't have time to figure this out. And I'm like, yes, you do. We have nothing pressing you to figure out anything.
Yeah.
Tika's a serious boy.
It's true. As much as I don't like the episode, I'm like, it will effectively did what it aim to achieve, or what I assume it aimed to achieve, which is setting up a different tone.
Okay, I just feel like that's the one episode that I really remembered out of these eight, and reading the summary for the next eight, like, I don't remember any of that stuff, so I feel like it effectively does something, but I remember it for being bad. Like, I remember it being like...
Huh. I have zero recollection of that episode at all. Or had.
Maybe I just like remembering bad things. I don't know.
So my original point was that aside from that episode, all the other episodes, I'm like, I like them a little bit. So I kind of had a hard time choosing which one I liked the most. But then after thinking about it a while, I came upon episode 29, Iroh Kenimon's Tangled Web. And mostly because like, I really loved the Giga House idea and execution as a kid. When I first saw it, I was just like, the whole idea of it, I found really cool. And the whole first episode in the Giga House, which is episode 28, and I can't remember the name, but they're kind of like in the house and they're kind of just fighting for their lives. Not really fighting for their lives. They're kind of just being chased and not trying to fight back. But they're not really using the house at all. And the second episode, they start to actually like start to actually think strategically and use the house to their advantage. And I think it's one of the rare examples of adventure where they actually use strategy to do things, which I thought was pretty cool.
But they still also do the awful thing where they're like, hey, you know, to find the others, let's split up. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
Poor idea. Splitting up is never a good idea in this show.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, now you're clearly just not going to find each other again. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I accept that as like contrived thing that is needed to reason for the characters to be separate so they can have separate plot lines going. I don't know. I accept that as a stupid plot device.
Also, there's no way Dokukumon did not eat them.
Oh my god, that took like 20 minutes for Dokukumon to crawl towards them. Yeah, that's pretty bad. The close second favorite episode was the Ken one, Genesis of Evil, just because it's like...
Really?
I didn't love the execution of it. I kind of expected a lot more, especially given Hope kind of hyped it up a bit by saying that the Japanese version really ruined the tone. And I actually watched both versions and didn't think there was much of a difference between the two. A lot of the moments I thought were really silly in the dub were actually there in the Japanese too.
Like
he was so good at blowing bubbles. Like, he taught me how to blow bubbles and I was so good. Like, I was good at it and he wasn't as good as me. I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's clearly not in the original. I was like, oh no, that actually was word for word.
Did he say mommy?
Okay. I have that as a thing somewhere, but I guess we can trust it now. So that's because like mama is definitely weird in English. I was just like, what the hell?
Yeah, it was super jarring in English.
So he didn't say mommy, he said mama.
Yeah, whatever. He did.
It's because like in Japanese, mama is like an acceptable thing to say, right? And it's two lip flaps. So like in English, they can't just say mom and mother would be way too formal. So I guess they were just like, well, we have to say mama. And everything else in the show is awkward.
Okay. Is Digimon really that hardcore about matching the lip flaps?
Yeah.
Really, Jeff?
I think they are actually. I mean, Digi-Armor Energize. Like.
Okay. Yeah. But like.
There are times that characters' mouths move and no sound comes out of them because I just didn't feel like putting it in.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're actually good at doing it all the time, but there are definitely awkward moments of dub where you can be like, well, that's... Like, there was during the arc when Ken was talking to Arcanimon over Skype, there was definitely a moment where, like, just the cadence of both of their lines were just super awkward because it's like, well, okay, well, they're matching lip flaps. And maybe they don't... Maybe it's uneven where they apply it to, but they definitely... Yeah. They definitely don't do it well. That much is clear.
They try.
And, yeah. Oh, I was also surprised in the Arcanimon's Tangleweb episode that, like, so much attention was actually paid to, like, how to edit audio on a computer. Like, I mean, it was all gibberish. Yoli Lee's like, oh, we'll move this here and then play this on multiple tracks and then we'll use special effects to combine them. I was like, that's gibberish, but...
It actually didn't even sound that complicated. And Kari was like, what?
That was pretty silly. But I mean, just the idea of like them using audio editing software was like, oh, that's really cool. And also Ken's like, well, she's a computer genius, but like she might not know how to use this software. I'm like, that's totally true. but then she did know how to use it. And I don't know. I thought that was.
Cause she remixes Matt's band or whatever.
Is that actually a thing she does in the original? Does anybody know?
I don't know. That does seem like a superfluous detail that was added to convince people that she was smart.
I have no idea.
She is smart, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think these episodes showed a lot of why Cody should have love and Yoli should have knowledge, but that's just me.
You know, whatever.
You know, like...
Open to interpretation.
Yeah.
And other things. So my favorite Digimon was Stingmon, because Stingmon's just awesome.
Yeah, Stingmon's pretty cool.
Stingmon!
That wow. Really good. Pretty good.
So yeah, it's on a similar note, my favorite moment was Stingmon's appearance.
Didn't they mess up with him too? Like they said Stingmon before they revealed that his name was Stingmon. I don't know.
Probably. I don't remember.
They can't get this right.
Yeah, I can understand when it's like across multiple episodes and it's like the writer of episode A doesn't know that it wasn't revealed in the episode before that or something. And so they assume that it was revealed before that and it wasn't actually revealed until later. I can understand that. But if it's been the same episode, like unless they split up the script by...
No, I think it might have been over two episodes. Like he appeared in the one episode and they said his name accidentally. Oh. And then in the next episode, they revealed his actual, like they did the digicard thing.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I just, since I know who he is, I was like, oh yeah, that's Stingmon. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Well, that doesn't really, it's not really a scenario described because it's not like there was a previous episode where he could have been revealed. So whoever wrote the episode where he was introduced should know that that's when he was introduced, right? They shouldn't think that he had been introduced prior.
These people, I don't know, man.
So Ashley, did you have any favorite anything?
Well, I mean, there were some laughable things in the Genesis of Evil episode, but I was genuinely moved by like the sadder parts, like the second chance speech and stuff. No, Ash is laughing at me.
Why is Ash laughing?
I mean, I think I've probably seen it too many times.
Too many times? Well, I don't remember anything, so I get to be special.
Ash, did you have favorites?
Yeah.
Not particularly, but I don't know. I actually really liked Davis throughout this set of episodes, except for episode 22, because, like, what? But...
Except his own episode.
Sorry, audience. I know Asher is your favorite, but we are kicking him off the podcast at this moment.
Because I like Davis?
Yes. That blockhead.
I mean, yeah, he's not smart, and I don't think he's a leader, but I like him as a friend to all these kids.
Yeah. Actually, I think this is the first arc where I was actually like, I actually like Davis.
See? No. Now you can't throw me off the podcast. You were just
like,
as filthy as I am.
For me, it mostly shown through with the way he approaches Ken.
Yeah.
I just feel like the way that, like, their friendship is portrayed, I'm like, this is not friendship. the show and friendship.
It's like a crush.
Yeah. Yeah. Davis has a huge friend crush on Ken.
I did start shipping Davis and Ken, though. I could see it.
It's really, really, like, blatantly shippable. Like, I'm sorry, but... and Davis is all, I can feel his heart. It's like...
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Wow. And Ken's just like, oh, so this is what having a friend is like. I'm like, Ken, no, that's not what it's like, no. But, oh, God, there was a moment, and I don't remember what episode it was, and I didn't write it down. Actually, you know what? It was episode 22, where Davis makes himself the butt of his own joke. And, like, you know, we're used to Davis being the butt of everybody else's joke. But he's actually self-aware enough to, sometimes, to do it himself. Like, he knows what he is.
There are those moments.
I appreciate that.
All right. Yeah. I don't, but sure.
I'll probably talk about Davis later. Yeah, I will. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think why my gut reaction was to be like, ugh, you like Davis? And I think a lot of it's the, like, initial impressions.
Yeah. And I mean, his behavior in episode 22 is kind of reprehensible.
Yep.
But, like, I like him. He's not my favorite.
Yeah.
But he's my favorite in this arc.
Mm-hmm. There basically weren't any other characters in this arc aside from Ken.
Basically.
Ken and Davis and some people who were either flip back and forth between trusting Ken or not.
TK.
Yeah, that's their only stock thing.
Cough, TK.
TK is John Kerry in the election.
TK's characterization throughout this entire season is kind of weird.
TK's like, don't trust anybody.
But then trust everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't trust anybody. Yeah.
I only trust Kari.
I want to start off general discussion just talking about the structure of this arc.
Was there one? Can you tell me what it was?
Well, I would say it split up into two pieces pretty easily, which we didn't do.
Yeah, I mean, especially after watching it, I was like, we could have split it up.
Hey, Jeffrey, why didn't you do that?
Well, part of the reason is that I was much more familiar with Adventure when splitting up the episodes before we watched them. And for Zero Two, I was like, oh, I don't really remember, but like, I remember this is the part before Arukenimon gets revealed, and this is the part after she's revealed. Uh-huh. So I did it was like, this is before we get Arukenimon, and this is the Destiny Stone arc after we get Arukenimon revealed. So, but yeah, it is pretty clear. So there's like the introduction of the champion evolutions, along with Ken's flashback, is the first four episodes. And then there's the Paeldramon two-parter and the Giga House two-parter. So yeah, those four episodes could have been their own, and the first four could have been their own. But also, I think these episodes are like, have some interesting parts, but are mostly forgettable.
Yeah, kind of.
So I didn't really mind putting them all together.
I just felt like they all had so much in them, like individually. But at the same time, I was like, I don't feel like this is good. Like... It's just throwing DNA digivolutions, champion digivolution, new enemy, Ken is good. Oh, this is everything, my brain hurts.
I have a list of new Digimon for later, and it's like really long. Whereas like for the last arc, it was like two. It was like Chimeramon and Magnemon. But yeah, I mean, so especially once I realized that it was basically two different two-parters, I was like, I wonder how Fox Kids aired them. And actually what they did, there was a winter break. So they did the first four, I assume normally I didn't actually look at all of them, but the Aquilamon episode aired on December 9th. And then there was winter break. And then they aired the next three in February. So they did the Paeldramon two-parter and then the first of the Giga House episodes as a marathon.
They were building suspense.
I guess so. Like, now that I think about it, like, I think that's why I was so effectively, convinced by that cliffhanger of the Giga House episode that I did have to wait a week to find out what happened. Because I was like, oh my god! I was totally sold as a kid. I am not now, but...
Nice.
Yeah. And it was weird how there was definitely, like, the Davis episode, the Ken episode, the Cody episode, and the Yoli episode. But the, like, Cody and Yoli episodes didn't really focus on them that much.
I felt.
Yeah, I didn't feel that.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't feel that they were like their episodes. I mean, I guess Yoli, I did.
Really? Because I feel like I had more evidence for Cody because like he had conversations with his grandfather, which is a sign that it's a Cody episode.
But then aside from that, I don't even remember what that like what happened in that episode. He learned to trust Ken, right? That's what all their...
No, he didn't. That's the...
Ken stabbed a dude.
Yeah.
Ken stabs... No, Thundermon. Thundermon. Yes.
That episode was super weird. I have it as a future thing I want to talk about. Cody's sense of stubbornness, like, he has a very strong morality, and it's like, it kind of makes sense because he's like the youngest and has much more like, clearly defined, this is good, this is bad. He doesn't really see the gray areas as much. But it was super because that episode was about flexibility. Like, his grandfather was teaching him about like a new form of yogurt that's more flexible. And I'm like, okay, well, this is also like, this business model has become more adapted to new form. Well, I guess none of this really applies because it was just prune juice in Japanese. And like, who knows what he was talking about prune juice. But in the dub, at least, it was about like how you should adapt to flexibility, or you should be flexible to adapt to new situations. And Cody's not do that. He's like, Ken did something. Oh no, he's still evil. Like, I don't know.
It's foreshadowing. Like, it's like kind of like nothing in these episodes was actually of themselves. It's all for the future. For future reference, Ken is the good, and spiders are bad.
Spiders are bad. Always bad. Always women, too. Can't trust women spiders.
I hadn't thought about that.
Well, I mean, women are also, I don't know, it's complicated.
Women are complicated?
Yeah.
No. Surprise.
Stereotypes.
Women in Digimon are complicated.
Oh, totally.
Oh, well, you were saying all spider Digimon are women. Yes, that's true.
There was an interesting distinction, I thought, between the rebuilding and destroying in this arc, that the main kids mostly had a strategy of rebuilding the stuff that was destroyed from the Ken fights, and Ken took the strategy of destroying control spires, which is an interesting way to explore the different ways they approach problems. I don't think we ever saw Ken actually rebuilding stuff.
No.
No, he's still destroying things.
He's a butt.
He just wants to destroy the things that he already made, because they were bad. So you have to go eliminate that first.
Yeah, actually, that's a pretty good idea. Because when they left the spires up, things came to knock down what they were rebuilding.
It's true. It's complicated.
Ken had his priorities straight.
Yeah.
But also what I thought was really interesting that I don't think all the writers are on the same page about was that at various points, the kids, the main Digidestined, seemed to take responsibility for the destruction that Ken caused. They would refer to it like, we need to help rebuild the stuff that we destroyed by fighting Ken. Which I thought was really interesting. Maybe not entirely fair for them to blame themselves for that, but interesting they were taking responsibility for it.
No, it's fair.
But then at other points they didn't. Like, other points they were like, well, Ken caused this. He's a butt.
No, it's fair. They caused a lot of damage.
Right, but I mean, like, should they not have fought back? Like, I don't think there was a better strategy.
Not. But, like, if they have the power, then why not? Why not take responsibility?
We have the power, changing the power.
We always fight to win. I don't know the lyrics. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But yeah.
They don't need the blame necessarily, but the responsibility, sure.
Mm. Yeah, as long as they have the power to help it, then they should. Which, yeah, it's interesting how much Ken regrets. He doesn't, at this point, know how to rebuild. He just knows how to destroy more bad stuff.
Yep.
But it's, obviously watching the kids rebuild stuff is less fun than watching them fight stuff. So like, as soon as we find out that there are control spire Digimon, like, of course they're just going to go and destroy things again. It was really boring watching them do manual labor for several episodes.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Yeah. Huh.
Which, you know, it didn't have to be.
Although I liked that they used their Digimon for that.
They used them so poorly, though. In the first episode, weren't they, like, they didn't Digivolve at all? And then they were like, oh, if we make them bigger, maybe they'll be more helpful.
Well, that's what I was talking about when they did make them Digivolve. It's like, that's a good use of your adult power.
It took them. They're a little slow.
So I had a couple little gender points. I really didn't think there was that much to talk about gender in this arc.
Tiny gender points? Okay.
Yeah. So my points were, it was cool to finally see a female villain.
What do you mean, finally?
Have there been other?
We had Lady Devimon.
Okay, I mean like an overarching villain, not a episode.
Yeah, okay.
Not an enemy. Not cool that all spiders are female. Like, that's kind of weird to make that implication or association.
Well, it's an association that already exists in outside culture with Arachne and Black Widows.
Mm-hmm. And Arachne is, for anyone who doesn't know, Arukenimon is...
Yeah.
The name is Arukeni, which is... attempt for Japanese people to pronounce Arachne. So, I mean, like, the official transliteration, the official transliteration of the Japanese name, which is Arukenimon, is Arachnemon. That's kind of weird. Anyway, and it was cool to see Yuli saving the day with her audio editing skills, and also seeing her boss people around after that. Like, she earned the ability to boss people around, which is pretty cool. It was really not cool to see Gatomon and Kari treated like prizes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But that's not changing anytime soon.
When were they treated like, when was, what was this instance?
Episode 22.
Yeah, it was, that's the entire plot of episode 22 was.
It is the entire plot.
I mean, it wasn't even just their prizes. It was that it was like, if you are good at something, then you will win the girl, which I feel like if you phrase it like they're the prize to win, that's like obviously bad. But I feel like what they did was a little more subtly manipulative than that, because it was saying like, if you are good, you deserve the girl, kind of like put in effort and then you'll get them. And it's like,
yeah,
that's such a pervasive idea in our culture.
And I just like win the girl.
Does Vimon consistently hit on Gatomon?
Okay.
I just felt like that was a one episode thing.
No, this is the only episode.
Yeah, okay.
This is the only episode.
Maybe, okay, here's my theory. Here's my headcanon. Davis was so into Car in this episode that his hormones overflowed into Vimon.
Yeah.
So Davis felt Ken's heartbeat, Vimon felt his hormones. Is that?
Well, no. So I think the reason this doesn't happen again is because then Davis focuses energy on Ken.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a little more receptive to that attention than Kari is.
Kari don't let him digivolve with him.
Exactly.
I don't know. Digimon romance is still a little weird.
It's totally weird.
I need to start putting a shipping corner, like, every episode.
Like, Arukenimon and Mamimon, they're weird.
Wait, Ash, you heard, maybe, I forget if I told you that, like, we actually got feedback that was requesting that.
Really?
That we would call it the Asher shipping corner, yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, I'm down.
Do it right now.
Not right now.
Yeah. Ugh, there was so much about, everything about Davis and forcing evolution. I have a couple different points about this. Like, the way Davis was anticipating what X-Vimon would look like before he knew it was X-Vimon was very childish, and it directly reminded me of the episode in the first season with TK anticipating what Patamon would evolve into.
Except Davis is not 8 years old.
Exactly, but...
Although he is 11. He's only 11.
Yeah, it's not that huge a difference. But in the context of the show, it feels like a big difference.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so obviously I feel like anyone in that position would anticipate what their Digimon would look like once they digivolve.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they only show TK and Davis doing it, I think, paints a picture that it is a very childish thing to do.
Although it wasn't Kari later on is also would all these other combinations look like?
Well, no. Kari is the first shipper.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
I see how it is.
Wait, what?
So Kari isn't like, I wonder what these people are going to turn into. She's like, I wonder what relationships will happen.
Except that's totally not what it was.
Yeah, not really. It was more like, what will these Digimon look like if they did it?
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a lot more of that in this season, like them anticipating what their Digimon are going to digivolve into.
Well, why not? They're in a position where they're secure enough to look towards the future. They're not running around for their survival most of the time.
Yeah, and it is like, I feel like that must be a fun aspect to make those designs, even though they were just shadows for the Kari speculation thing. Because it's like, well, you can just throw in random designs. And I mean, that especially Kari's DNA Digivolution speculation reminded me directly of, there's a segment, persistent segment, at the end of Cross Wars episodes where they would show, so the premise of Cross Wars, people haven't seen it, is that it's basically DNA Digivolution to the extreme. It's just like Digimon just like fuse all the time, and call it cross in Japanese and fusing in English. And that they have this segment at the end of every episode where they show like failed or silly fusions. I feel like that the designers must have fun doing that, to be like, well, if we'd mashed, I forget what some of the examples are, like Bakemon with Agumon, and then you had a ghost with a dinosaur head. Woo!
Okay.
But I guess there wasn't much creativity in those shadows, those silhouettes.
Yeah.
Although we know Digimon character designers like silhouettes recently, because of all the news announcements that were made in the form of silhouettes for months.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, so Davis forcing evolution reminded me of, it was very reminiscent of Tai and him only feeding Agumon and then being rewarded for that, which we had complained about in season one. But I feel like looking back on that, I remember we complained about that a lot, but I feel like looking back on it, Tai actually did learn a lesson in the end, because he did something very similar, to force Agumon to go to Skull Greymon by only feeding him and stuff. And I feel like in those two interactions, he learned his lesson. And Davis really
did not.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get this feeling that Davis doesn't really learn lessons.
He doesn't, really. I think we've said as much before.
Yeah. But he learns to love Ken, and that's all he needs. Ken will show him the way to being a kinder person. Also, Davis was totally an abusive parent towards Viman. Like,
it actually doesn't even feel like a parental thing in this episode.
Yeah.
There might have been more of that in season one, but season two
feels much more petty.
Yeah. It seems much more, much less serious for one thing, and much more of an equal footing thing, despite the fact that the Digimon are always in their in-training forms in the real world.
But, like, in that wall when they were, like, when Ken was still chilling and they were rebuilding stuff, like, and it would show scenes of them in the real world, it just seemed like, you've become my glorified pet in here.
Yeah. Pet friend.
Yeah.
I liked how they revisited Ken's base and how it's only been, at that point, I think, like, 5 episodes since they destroyed it, and how different it feels at this point. And most of that's destruction, but also just, like how different the relationship with Ken is now, even though it was only a couple episodes ago. That was a cool little reminder. But also, okay, this is a weird, weird thing that has affected me throughout life. Whenever I eat cold soup, I think of the scene of the, like, dark portal to the world of darkness or whatever in his base, and how they, like, see it and they're like, oh, it's so cold here.
You're really weird.
No one else thinks that?
Yeah, you're super weird.
What? No, you're the only one in the world, Jeff. Like, what?
But, like, cold soup is so, like... So I'm not thinking, like, any cold soup. I'm thinking, like, soup that is supposed to be served hot, and you put it in the fridge, and then
Jeffrey,
you, like...
no, it's still weird. What is your really thought right now?
I guess it's just me. Okay.
Yeah, you're the weird one here.
It is just you. Like, what?
Okay. I just think that Ken's base is funny because it's like every sci-fi trope built into one base. And it just makes me laugh.
Were there any in this when it's like destroyed?
I mean, why was the like tube place looked like some weird growing like gooey path? It was weird.
Yeah, I guess it was.
And like then the evil tower thing is like, why is this here? Why
did blowing it up work?
Yeah, why? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the whole idea that, like, it was there. The whole idea that, like, the base was going to explode, but putting the Crest of Kindness back kind of stopped it, but didn't fully, but then destroying something else did stop it from blowing up. Like, none of it really made any sense.
No. And this arc was not good about making sense.
Ken's base. Whole unanswered question. Why? Why anything? Why?
What? I initially thought that the power source of Ken's base was the Crest of Kindness, and I was like, that really doesn't make any sense. But then finding out that it was the portal or door or whatever to the world of darkness, I was like, okay, that actually makes some more sense. Like, maybe that's where, like, the energy, like, also, like, how does he make control spires is another, like, huge unanswered question. It's like, we don't really know because he has memory loss too, and it's like,
There was one episode where his base just, like, pooped out control spires in 2 seconds.
Wait, did they actually show that?
Yeah.
Really?
No, there was a string of control spires following Ken's base. I don't think we saw spires coming out of it.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't remember spires actually falling. I don't remember spires actually being.
But like, it's implied that it's like coming out of the base.
I don't know if that was implied, but I guess
it was totally implied.
Okay,
it was totally implied that the base was doing something to make the spire.
So I could see like the world of darkness, like the darkness from there just being concentrated into a spire, and that's how they get formed. Because until I saw that portal, I was like, well, what mechanism did he, what materials did he use? Where did he get the materials? How did he refine them? And like all this other stuff.
Okay.
The extra detail, especially shadows in episode 28, we talked about it briefly before because it was similar in the last episode of the Taking Down Ken arc.
There are like groups of animators that work on different episodes, and that's one of them.
Right. So I tried to like figure out who that is because like in the credits are listed on Digimon Wiki, there's a director, an animation director, and art. And my understanding of the animation process is that that would be decided by the keyframe animators, but I have no idea of those three roles, which of them draw keyframes. And my limited understanding of the animation process is only informed by Shuobako, which if anyone hasn't seen it, is a really good show that's currently airing, but it might not be by the time this episode goes up. So anyway, I tried to like narrow down like what else the director had done, Hiroyuki Kakudo, and what else the animation director had done, and what else the art person had done, and it's like nothing is clear because like the director had done stuff that didn't look good, the animation director had done stuff that didn't look good, the art whatever that means, art person does like every other episode. So like, and it probably is just like a staff of people and some of them who work on certain scenes. Cause I don't think it was consistent on every scene of the episode either.
No. So yeah, maybe in like, that episode, but then in the one afterwards, it was, they switched teams a bunch of times.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So I'm actually butting in while editing to correct myself because I was wildly misinformed while talking there. And I was actually reading the credits from episode 26 when I mentioned Hiroyuki Kakudo and Tomoko Ito as director and animation director. That was episode 26. Episode 28, the director was Takanori Kawada and animation director was Yoshihiro Takeda. And the important figure in question is Yoshihiro Takeda, whose track record does match up with the better animated episode with the highly detailed shadows and stuff. They also directed, what else? They directed episode 7, Guardian Angel. Episode 16, Samurai of Sincerity, which wasn't a great episode, but I guess it had higher quality animation. Episode 21, The Crest of Kindness. Episode 28, The Insect Master's Trap. And they also direct a couple more episodes later in the series that we haven't gotten to yet. And yeah, it totally matches up. And I wanted to thank The Good Fighting Doctor on Tumblr, who, after we posted for last episode an image of the episode from that arc that was higher quality, they answered the post mentioning that it was directed by Yoshihiro Takeda. And I saw that and my first thought was, no, that doesn't fit this theory. We talked about in the future episode how it doesn't fit that theory. And then realized everything I looked at was wrong. And wow. So I'm glad that they pointed that out to us and that we all know the truth now.
There was a line. Wait, where was this line? I'm trying to remember where it was.
What is it?
So Yuli said, I'm not sure who's watching whom. I have no idea when that was.
It was one of the earlier episodes.
Hmm. Oh, it was when Davis was watching the little Digimon playing soccer.
Oh, yeah. But she said whom? I'm so impressed.
Really, that's your observation.
Correct.
I mean, I'm not impressed with Yoli. I'm impressed with the writers.
Aw. You think so little of people, Jeffrey.
Yeah, really.
I mean, especially for a kid's show, I would never expect them to actually use whom correctly. So my other stray observation is... is there actually a quote? Oh, so it's just like the way Ken was talking about how he doesn't live up to his old genius legacy and he like was getting test results and he was at the end at the bottom of the class and stuff. I don't know. It just made me feel things. Especially as someone who was like good in school and high school and college and like be in a working environment where like you don't get the same kind of feedback you do when you're in school. Reminded me of this post too. So I posted this Tumblr thing. It'll be in the show notes. And it basically says, if you were praised for being smart as a child and now feel crippling sensations of inadequacy when you don't instantly know how to do something perfectly, clap your hands. No one's clapping their hands? Come on. It has 50,000 notes on Tumblr, so.
Lots of people have been clapping their hands metaphorically.
I didn't actually intend for us to clap our hands, so.
I was then consistently confused about whether Ken was supposed to still be smart or not. Because sometimes they treat him like, they're like, you're a genius, you'll figure it out.
Like, they tell him that. And he doesn't question it. He's not like, no.
Yeah. His reaction is like, no, I'm not a genius. That's the whole point.
My thought is that Ken is still a genius, but he's not trying as hard.
That's possible.
He's very confused right now.
I didn't really buy his, like, well, I'm busy thinking about other stuff when he said that to Davis at some point.
No, but, like, he has been through a lot, and people's performance suffers under circumstances like that.
Yeah.
And he's also, like, you know, he doesn't want the attention anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So why should he bother?
Well, that's not a good reason to... Well, I don't want attention, so why should I bother in school? Whatever.
Why should I bother with that life thing? That's fine.
He's got more important things to do. Like flirt with
hang
Davis.
Out with Stingmon.
I wish we had scenes of like Ken talking to Stingmon or Wormmon or whatever about Davis. Like, I don't know, should I trust Davis? Like,
well, we have one. Except he's always like, should I trust the other kids? We know you're talking
about it's never just Davis. It's always all of them.
But it's totally just Davis. Well, Davis is the only one trying, except for Yoli at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Although I would like to say, I really do appreciate that Yoli talks to Ken on his own terms, privately, waiting for him to be ready. Instead of Davis, I'm your friend!
We're friends, because I said so! We're friends!
What was
the
situation with Yoli you're talking about? I can't remember.
Episode... 25. She emails Ken as he's turning to leave, and she's like, I can't wait when you feel like you'll be ready to join us.
Hmm.
But she doesn't, you know, call him out. She doesn't, you know, insist. She's just like, I'll be here when you're ready.
I found it slightly weird that she sent him the email while they were still, like, in the vicinity of each other.
She is, like, a super fast texter.
I know.
I mean, it's weird when you think about it as an email and through the age, but now it's like, that would make total sense for texting, so.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would text you guys messages if I was in the same room as you.
Yeah, Ashley, you have done this to me, like, all the time. Like, when you're mad at me and we're in a group and you're like, and you just look at everyone else and you're, like, glaring at everyone else while texting me angry messages.
It's true. It doesn't make sense when you're not angry. I just...
Ashley, it only makes sense because you're angry all the time.
Just always angry. It's true.
That's your secret.
You're the Hulk.
You're always angry. So I want to talk about the new Digivolutions we got in this arc and the way the story is set up and the plotting around them, the context for them. And in broad strokes, without Ken and the Digimon Emperor, we're back to single threats. There were a lot of moments in the Digimon Emperor arc where he would bring in a whole herd of Digimon to explain why they would need the third champion or the third armor evolution, whatever. But now that we're back against single threats, they have to come up with more reasons why they need a new champion Digivolution, because it's like, why not use the other champions or use the other armor evolutions or whatever. So the first one we get is Davis and Vimon turning into X-Vimon, and that was... I get that an F. That scenario is they're isolated on a cliff fighting an enemy who's just kind of mad at them a little bit and wants to go back to peeing, which is a thing I'll mention later. And
is that what that was about?
Wait, what? What did you
I
just say?
I could not figure that episode out for the life of me.
Yeah. I guess we'll go into the detail about that later. But and so it triggers really arbitrarily. It's like Tortamon hits Vimon and they Digivolves into X-Vimon. Like, why not fight back as Flamejimon or Ragemon? Especially since they didn't mean to do much damage to Tortamon anyway, because he wasn't actually evil. He was just kind of mad at them. It was just bad plotting.
That whole episode was just bad.
Yeah.
The whole episode gets an F.
And the next one was Cody and Armadillomon turning into Ankylomon. And in that episode, they were isolated in a cave, which made sense. They were doing different parts of the renovation or whatever. And made sense to be separated and be a new threat would attack them without them being able to get help from others. I actually can't remember if he tried to fight as Digimon and lost or if he just immediately needed to digivolve. So unsure about that.
No, he did try to fight as Digimon.
I think he lost, yeah.
Okay. Then that gets a thumbs up. I'm not going to do that letter grade because it's just like, okay, you passed. I mean, that's good for you.
Pass, fail.
Yeah, so pass. And next one was Yuli and Hawkmon turning into Ankylomon. And this one was really weird because they were fighting against one enemy in a large group. They had five. And then when Stingmon came, they had six Digimon that could fight. They all tried fighting as armor evolutions, even though they had three champions that could have fought. They could have fought with Angemon, with Xvimon, with Ankylomon. Actually, Angemon. Like, Angemon is... I mean,
no, wasn't the point that they were figuring out they couldn't digivolve?
No, because at that point they were fighting against whatever his name is. I can't remember his name.
Golemon.
Like, there was no Dark Spire anymore or Control Spire because Golemon was a Control Spire. It wouldn't make sense because later Aquilamon digivolved. So, I mean, there weren't any Control Spires.
Is that the point?
Oh, yeah.
If there's a Control Spire still, they can't digivolve?
Right.
Yeah.
And then what's the point of TK and Kari went off on their own and couldn't digivolve?
Because they were so near a Control Spire. They just wanted to test it privately to get some alone time.
Digivolving canoodling.
I think they didn't want to embarrass themselves in front of their kohai.
Wow.
They're the digivolving senpais here.
Who's the weeaboo here, Ash?
You still.
Definitely you, still. Jeffrey.
I don't say kohai.
There's not really a good equivalent in English.
It's true.
I mean, but they're not actually kohai in school, right?
No, they're in the same year, but they're digivolving senpai. That's a thing.
That's a thing.
For anyone who's not familiar with these weeaboo terms.
These Japanese terms.
So generally, they're from school where it's like senpai would be your senior person.
Upperclassmen. Yeah.
Generally, upperclassmen and lowerclassmen are the usual translations. Kohai is the other lowerclassmen. But yeah, there's no good general term for not like grades, which is how we're using them here. Yeah, that makes sense. I remember thinking during that episode, like, ugh, are they really not going to explain why they can't digivolve? And it's like, no, it's because Thundermon appeared and was that Control Spire. So, yeah. It doesn't really make sense why, like, if they're still with the Control Spire in the form of Digimon, why that they can't keep restricting things, but ever.
It was very confusing to me.
But going back to the other confusing thing, like, they're in this large group, like, why don't any other champions digivolve? Like, just, they basically just don't do it. Because I can understand that they have, actually, there was a part of it that made some sense in that they were rushed by time because they needed to save, he had breached the dam and they needed to do something with whatever evolutions they already had ready to stop the dam. So it made sense in that point. They used whatever they had to stop the water. But then once they went back to fighting him, like, they could have, like, they had time to think, like, we need to summon Ken. We need Ken. It's like, you don't need Ken. Just use the other champions you have. Yeah. And then it's weird because she gets, like, a little revelation moment before she activates her Digivolution, which is, like, none of the other ones had that. They just did it. So give that one a fail. And Ken's Stingmon is weird because it's totally off screen the first time they Digivolve. And it's weird because we've been following him pretty closely up until that point. We had the whole episode about him, and then he was in the beginning of this next episode where he is featured with Stingmon Digivolve. We see him in the real world and stuff. We see him playing with Leafmon, I guess. And then later in the episode, he's just there with Stingmon. It's like, well, I guess he got back to Wormmon, and then I guess Wormmon digivolved again. Like, that, okay. I could see myself complaining about that, but I actually really like it because it actually makes a surprising moment where you're like, you think you're following Ken closely, and then it's like, boom, there's Stingmon, bitches.
It also works because Ken is such a private creature.
Yeah, yeah.
This show is just going to change the point of view as it pleases, so whatever.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I guess it's also weird because, like, they showed Ken's point of view in the Cody episode, and yeah.
Yeah, both Cody and Yoli got a little ripped off there.
Yeah.
Like, they just internal monologue whenever they want them to internal monologue. So.
Yeah. TK gets internal monologues all the time.
Kari gets, like, not a lot of internal monologues.
Well, Ash, don't you know that all of Digimon is actually TK's internal monologue?
Yes, yeah. I did know that.
TK, you're a bad writer. Holy crap.
He's really bad at handling his own motivations.
Yeah.
But wait, I forget, actually, the narrator in the dub doesn't actually appear that often. I think it's just at the end. Whereas in the Japanese, there's a narrator throughout both series.
Mm. I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Well, I forget.
Is the narrator supposed to be the guy who does the recaps at the end, or is it different?
I don't know. I think that's, like, an external voice outside the fourth wall. Like, because that guy's, like, way too overdramatic.
He's outside the show. He's telling us to stay tuned.
Will the Digidestin do something?
Yeah. He's the commercial voice guy. Isn't he the same commercial voice guy for Digimon?
Is there one commercial voice guy?
No. Yeah, maybe?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't remember the commercials that well.
And the last Digivolution we get is Pyojimon's DNA Digivolution. And I thought that was effectively conveyed. I mean, they were fighting against an ultimate level Digimon. None of them had ways to get to ultimate level. And I guess the interesting aspect here is, like, how do they come across DNA Digivolution? And when that happened in our war game, it was a similar moment of desperation, kind of. That was, like, we're completely desperate. We have nothing else to do. Let's just hug our Digimon. And we both love our Digimon so much. I guess we love them at the same frequency or something. So now we fuse together.
Way to make it, like, 10 times shippier than it already was.
Well, no, I was thinking, like, it's not shippy with each other. It's shippy with their Digimon.
You just made it shippy.
I said love.
Loved on the same frequency, yeah. Jeff?
I guess. Yeah. Well, I'm just like, why did Ty loving Wargreymon so much and Matt caring about Metal Gurumon so much mean that they would combine together? It doesn't really make sense.
Because of the depth of their love for each other, obviously.
Sure. And so in this, I thought, so I mean, it comes about because Ken wants to go into the base alone to put in the Crest of Kindness and end things on his own without worrying everyone else. And Dave's like, I don't know, the argument I think was a little muddled, because at the broad strokes was that Ken, Davis was like, no, you can't go in there alone. The actual lines they have don't really get to that point. I forget what they actually argued about specifically, but I feel like it kind of distracted away from the point that was like, I want to go in, I'm not letting you go in alone.
Yeah. My bone to pick with this and something else that's coming up is, why are they kind of promoting violence as a way to get your point across to people? Because Davis slaps Ken, and later on there's some more slapping going on. And, like, don't teach kids that. That's not great.
It's the only way you can get people to listen to you. Punch them in the face.
Yeah, I guess it is bad that he had to resort to that. I appreciated that it was in response to Ken saying he didn't care about him dying.
I don't know why this bothers me more than Matt and Ty fighting all the time. I guess because
that seemed neutral.
In these instances, it's like someone's hit and there's no fighting back. While with Matt and Ty, it was just sort of like, it's still not good. Don't teach your kids to fight. But, like, they were on equal footing
right.
every single time.
Yeah, it's weird when Ken doesn't fight back.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Okay. So, wait. Armadillomon's Digivolution is Ankylomon, right?
Yes.
Sure.
And then Hawkmon's is...
Aquilamon.
Yes. Oh, why did they choose these names? Why are you confusing me?
Because Ankylosaur and Aquila means hawk in Latin.
It means eagle, actually.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. Sorry, my bad.
This is so confusing. I am so confused right now.
I guess I hadn't really thought about how they sound similar.
Like, when you said it earlier, I was like, wait, didn't you just say... You didn't say the right one.
You said Ankylomon earlier, Jeff, but I didn't want to correct you.
Oh, see, they're so similar, you don't even know when you say it wrong.
I guess it's like, the actual letters look so different, but, like, the cadence of, like, Aquilamon, Ankylomon, like, that...
Yeah.
They do sound very similar.
Yeah. Huh.
And then XVmon, because why not?
Yeah. Oh, one of my big frustrations with XVmon is that whole episode, I forgot to write my notes, but that whole episode in English is like The Boy Who Cried Wolfmon, which I think is actually a really good title. But in Japanese was like Brave Evolution XVmon or something. And like nothing about that evolution was brave.
Wow.
I did a lot of research into, or not research, I read up on the Wonderswan games in the past couple of days, and the impact of this DNA Digivolution of Paildramon, and of Izzy being like, DNA Digivolution has happened before, dun dun dun, is kind of bogus in the chronology, like the actual look at the whole timeline of the Adventure Universe, because Paildramon has happened before. Like, Ken with Wormmon has DNA Digivolved with Vmon, owned by Ryo before, and they've made Paildramon, so like, it's a little weird. That's in Tag Tamers.
I didn't really appreciate, like, Izzy's lecture and like comparing Paildramon to Omnimon or whatever, because it was framed in like in a way to overcome like becoming ultimate, we did this, and I was like, but it was two Digimons that were mega, so they're like beyond mega now. I don't know, it just didn't feel like super comparable in the terms that they couched it in.
Yeah, it's weird because like for this DNA Digivolution, they're like extremely clear that it's like two champions come together to form an ultimate. It goes up one level. And for the other one, they're always super vague about like, okay, well, two megas make a stronger mega? I don't know. Makes a thing that's above mega? We're not going to tell you there's a name for that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like, I was like, they are comparable situations, but you're making it really confusing.
Yeah. There's a subtle difference, I guess, that they don't mention. That makes it weird.
I'm like, but why couldn't Stigmon and XVmon just digivolve to ultimate? Like, it didn't make, I don't know. It was not sufficiently explained. What?
Because they didn't have crests.
Is that why they don't have?
Although.
Ken had a crest.
But Ken has a crest.
It's true.
But he probably couldn't activate that crest yet. He wasn't emotionally ready.
Oh, he activated it when to find Wormmon in Primary Village.
Was that the kind of activating glow that actually precedes evolution, though? Like,
are there different kinds of glow?
Aren't there?
And I guess, like, Mimi glowed multiple times.
Yeah.
His kind of reacted to things without sort of coming from within him.
No, but his activation happened after he had a little internal monologue about kindness and about how he would be kind to others and stuff. And I was like, I even wrote down for that when that happened. I was like, this is the first crest activation that makes sense. Well, one of the first.
Well, Wormmon wasn't ready to digivolve then.
Really? Not from egg to
Yeah, you ultimate? Can't go from egg to ultimate. You got to eat some bread first. Take some training fireball classes things.
I don't know. It was super confusingly explained because Digimon.
Yeah.
So in this segment, there was introduced, you know, real or not real Digimon, because some of them were made out of control spires. That was the first instance. Second was real or not real humans, because the Digidestined do not seem to understand that Arukenimon is a Digimon until she turns into a spider. So they think she's a human woman. And then I lump this in too, where it's like real or not real friends, because seriously, Davis, you don't just scream, I'm your friend over and over, and that doesn't make people your friend.
Well, you can in shonen manga.
Digimon's not shonen. That's crazy.
Yeah, what?
I guess it actually isn't. I guess it's like a level below that. It's like a younger audience.
Yeah, it's the younger version of shonen. No, shonen is the younger one.
No, I know, but like, it's saying it's like a level below, like even younger than shonen.
I don't know what that would be.
I don't know what that'd be, yeah.
I don't know.
You made it up.
I could look up what it's classified as. Keep talking.
I don't know. I was particularly struck by TK's line. I forget what Digimon they were fighting precisely. But I guess Davis started it being like, it's okay, he's not real, because they know that they're made out of control spiders by now. And TK's like, he's real enough. I was like, what is that? Mm. What does that mean?
I actually have thoughts about that, because TK and Kari have killed real Digimon before. They are war veterans.
I think in that specific instance, TK was saying it to being like, he's real enough to be a threat.
Yeah, I got that it was supposed to be referring to the threat, but it just felt like super strange to me. Yeah.
Well, that's because the whole trying to justify killing these Digimon by saying they're not real Digimon is strange. That's what I feel is the problem.
Oh, I have so much to talk about that.
Yeah, it's true. Because you're like, well, it's a living thing, sort of, right? Like,
yeah, but like, it doesn't seem to have any sentience until you get to Black War Greymon, which we'll get into later.
Oh.
None of these guys talk.
That's true.
But they are all, right, they don't talk, but they are beasts. And like, does that mean it's okay to destroy beasts? I mean, I think the distinction they're getting at is that they are beasts that are just, can only destroy things, but like...
Well, they're also beasts that are controlled. So in some ways, they may be more like machines or weapons.
I guess that's, so.
See, are they controlled? Yeah, that's what I was confused about.
Yes.
Like, they seem controlled because they just do the thing supposedly Arukenimon wants them to do.
We don't know enough to know if, like, she is telling them what to do, or if they're just, like, destroying stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know enough.
And she didn't make them all into, like, insect Digimon, so she can't be fluting them or whatever.
Mm.
No, but they're made out of the same energy that she is, which we don't know, but we know.
Spoilers. So they just directly respond to her desires? Is that the implication you're getting at?
I mean, I don't know exactly. It's sort of like, you know, the darks, what are they called? Control spires.
Mm-hmm.
The control spires were made by Ken at spoiler villains, influence, but, Arukenimon is more of sort of a child of spoiler villain.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to say exactly what's going on here.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting the way that when they are facing Golemon and Thendermon is the only time that I can recall in the series, this one or any other ones where, but there probably are another series I can't remember, of they're facing a Digimon and they're like, is this Digimon evil? Like, what do they want? Like, should we stop it? Should we fight it? And we're not really clear, like, cause in like the first season, they were always under direct attack or like, they knew they were being controlled by a Black Gear. I guess for a little bit, they didn't know Meramon was controlled by Black Gear. But aside from that, so it's a rare situation where they're actually like, we don't know if we should be fighting. And I didn't like how like that answer is totally simplified, because it's like, oh yeah, they're just another form of evil. They're just like, there's no complex question there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Season two does a lot to erase the morality questions of season one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's like, ooh. So assuming that these were just beastly non-talking Digimon that weren't control spires or whatever, in the first season, they always face those Digimon like Seedramon and Shellmon. I guess we don't explicitly see them killing them, but we do see them killing the Bakemon in that one episode with Joe and Sora. And in those instances, it's about self-preservation, and it is assumed to be okay to kill in a situation when it's about self-preservation, and there's something that's going to kill you if you don't kill it. And then in this episode, you have a situation where Golemon is going to destroy apparently millions of lives, mm-hmm. and they still don't think it's okay to take him out.
They've never had to make the decision before, and this is the group that's had time to think.
Except for TK, Kari, and Mimi.
Right. Right. And Mimi's like, yeah, take him out.
Oh, did she say that? I think I missed that.
Well, she definitely said to call Ken.
Hmm.
That was definitely her idea.
I found it troublesome that, you know, when it's like, save my life, okay, I'll kill. That's fine. And then when it's like, save millions of lives, I don't know if it's worth killing. That seemed really problematic.
Because they're like not directly attacking
right.
you.
But I guess,
is this the one with the dam?
Yeah, it's the dam. And I guess it makes sense because it's like directly attacking you. Like you can respond immediately without thinking about it and then kind of justify your actions later. When it's like saving other people, you have to like, you're not mm-hmm. as immediately thrown in and have to defend yourself. So, okay. I can see how it's...
I think it's less, I mean, I agree with you. I agree that's a problem. I think in this case, it's less about that and more that these kids are not in the same situation the season one kids were in.
Yeah.
This is the first time they've had to deal with killing a Digimon, except for TK and Kari.
And they never have a situation where it's about self-defense.
And TK and Kari, they don't say anything about whether or not it's okay to kill a Digimon.
Yeah, why don't they say anything?
Because it would be embarrassing if they talk about things that they should know as older people or whatever they say. In the next.
Yeah, well, I feel like in these episodes they didn't do like anything that could be helpful.
Nope, they're barely even there.
TK and Kari?
Ugh, TK and Kari is such a disappointment to me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the whole way they use the word real really rubs me the wrong way. Especially since we don't really know much about Digimon and their origins. And, you know, there are all sorts of weird things where it's like Vimon is like a legendary Digimon or something that has no memories before he came out of the egg. And it's like the origin of Vimon, Armadillomon, Hawkmon are different than the ones that have been born from eggs. But they're not considered not real Digimon. But if a thing is created from darkness, it apparently can never be redeemed. And that I don't have so much a problem with. I have like a problem with using the word real and judging them based on this. I mean, it reminds me of like really problematic uses of the word in real life. Yeah. And like.
Mm-hmm. Real life.
Well, especially in regards to gender and like transgendered people and how it'd be like, well, she's not a real woman. And it's like, it's hard for me to like not make that connection. And yeah. And I guess also the other situation that reminded me of was like, I remember in high school we were learning about, actually, I think you're someone who's offended by this when I said it.
Probably.
So we learned about this thing called the Women's Declaration of Independence at the Seneca Falls Convention. And in discussing it, I was trying to compare it to the original Declaration of Independence. And I referred to it as like...
You referred to it as the real independence.
Right, the women's and the real one. And it's like saying something is
real. That is
real. Offensive. Yeah, it like... I didn't understand the time. I was like, no, I'm totally right. Like, you guys are always being offended about something. And it's like, I understand now that it's like, when you say something is real, you're implying that everything else is fake. And that, like, that's a really problematic message in a lot of situations. And that is what they're trying to do here. They're trying to say that like, these are fake Digimon. They
just have the imitation of life.
Right. And I think it kind of spreads the message that it's okay to look at things this way, especially in regard to gender. And I, like, recently, interactions online have seen people who, specifically, I don't want to call out who it is, but a woman who people have accused of being transgender, as if that's, like, a, like, thing that she should be ashamed of if she is, or that, like, she should even have to disclose whether she wants to or not. Like, and I think there's, so this woman I'm talking about is a like well-known feminist. And I think there's an aspect of like people think it's important to know whether she's transgender or not because they think that if she's transgender, that undermines everything she said about feminism because she's not a real woman. And I can see that seed of a thought like where I'm like, oh, I thought she's such a big feminist, but like, is she not even a woman? Like I've had that thought. And I'm like, oh my God, it's terrible. I can't believe I thought that. And I think messages like this, where it's like, this Digimon's not a real Digimon. Like, it has like this core underneath it where like, if you attack it once, you'll see that there's like a black core and it's not a real Digimon. Like, I think that's like kind of an internet mentality that exists a lot. And that's why it bothers me so much. And, like, it teaches the lesson. Like, I mean, a common lesson we hear about is that like, it's what's on the inside that counts. And in most cases, I agree with that. But I think that the dark side of that is that it's like, you assume you kind of have the right to know the insides of other people. And like, that can affect, like, if people choose to act or present themselves in a certain way, then we shouldn't have to know anything more about them, whether they're real or not. Yeah. Sorry, I was so incoherent.
It's like the other problematic aspect is just like, I don't know, in terms of like, I don't, maybe we don't know enough about when, like, they discover that Arukenimon is a Digimon and not a human. Like, I kind of wanted to see more of their reaction to, like, she's not a human like us. Like, now I feel like it's okay, even though she's a real Digimon, she's not a real human. So they're like, well, we can attack her, and like, she's evil, who cares? I don't know. Like, it also has that aspect. And because Digimon, like, there's like three levels of something going on here. Like, I don't think they would ever be okay with killing a human in the show.
Yeah.
They're kind of okay with killing real Digimon if it's necessary. Totally okay to kill fake Digimon. Like, there's like a scale, a sliding scale of morality in the show.
And it's like, where on that scale does killing the evil Digimon from the first season fit? Like, I guess they're somewhat more okay with it than fake Digimon. Or it's somewhat less okay than fake Digimon? No, yeah. It's less okay because, if you have the spectrum, like, you can put every character at some point on the spectrum. And the 0-2 kids are only okay with killing fake Digimon. The
0-1 kids are okay with killing some real, quote-unquote, Digimon. If they deserve it.
Oh, I just hate
using... Nobody is okay with killing humans.
I don't want to say real Digimon. I hate that.
Sorry. I don't know. This is somewhat unrelated. But I thought it was interesting that actually Davis, and I think somebody else at one point, were actually fighting the Digimon, at least in the Giga House. Like, Davis, like, throws one of the...
Yes, it was Davis.
What Digimon were they fighting? I forget.
The Roachmon.
Yes. He, like, throws one of the Roachmon off the...
Uh-oh.
Off the counter or something.
I don't remember
He was fighting with them, and I was like, whoa, wait a second here.
There were just so many.
And it happens a lot in the next episode. Oh, it's like, I think there's a name for that trope where it's like, you face one bad guy and it's like, oh my God, you need to like use all your skills. But then it's like, if you face a swarm of them, it's like, you know, someone could just be like punching behind their back without even looking and they'll just take down bad guys.
Yeah, it was definitely some of that going on.
It's like the ninja effect or something.
Yeah, yeah. And the next episode, they sprinkle salt and pepper and bug spray on Arukenimon and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And the term like taking real or not real from the Hunger Games. See, I feel like it is sort of complex in the Hunger Games using, like, it's a different situation. Like, PETA doesn't know what's reality.
Yeah.
And what was made up.
In his memories. Yeah.
Yeah, from his memories. But it's very much a situation where Ken, like, when he asks the question, they're sometimes like, well, I don't really know the answer. Like, it could have been real. Like, it's somewhat, because Katniss is like, well, I didn't do what you said I did in your, like, fake memories, but I can't confirm that, like, what the actual reality of it was because it's so, like, hazy, what she does for, like, cameras, what she does for her feelings. Like, there's a complication to, like, there is no real or not real.
Yeah. I think the Hunger Games trilogy does, I think that idea of the real or not real is much more simply conveyed in the Kingdom Hearts, I guess it's just one game, in Chain of Memories, where, spoilers for a lot of Chain of Memories, as Sora goes through the castle, he starts remembering this girl from his childhood, Naminé, and how she's trapped in this castle and he's to save her, and he starts forgetting this girl he knew before in Kingdom Hearts 1, Kairi. So he starts forgetting Kairi, and he's like, I don't know why I can't. It's like the castle has weird memory issues, and like it's making them all forget stuff. But like he keeps remembering Naminé. He's like, I need to save Naminé. And then, you know, like, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through the castle, he finds out that, you know, Naminé, he never knew Naminé. Naminé is this like witch, as I call her, who is manipulating his memories and replacing Kairi in his memories with her. And so like his goal of trying to save her is like, but like she's not actually bad, she's like being manipulated by the organization that's keeping her prisoner. And you know, Sora eventually decides like these memories are fake, like I didn't actually know you, but like they feel completely real to me and I'm just going to act on them. And like, you know, that's probably not a good situation strategically because like he could just be totally abused, but he chooses to be like, they're real to me, so I'm just going to act on it. Like, I know, and I think he also knows that she's being kept prisoner and like, isn't actually evil and stuff. But yeah, I think that's like the much more simplistic boiled down, like choosing to believe in things, even though you know they might not be real, but they feel real to you. And Hunger Games is much more like complex and
yeah, gets all weird.
Actual murder and stuff involved and
woo, murder. It's definitely like, these kids are like, it feels real to me, but they don't care that it feels real. They're like, whatever, it's not real, so gotta kill these Digimon.
Yeah.
I definitely like that we put the morality scale. I think the scale is good.
So I want to talk about Ken and Sam. I mean, it's basically mostly topics from the episode of Ken's flashbacks. And I think the biggest takeaway from this episode, for me and for most fans probably too, is the, I guess, reveal of where Ken's personalities came from. So what I thought was really interesting so everyone kind of, I think, knows from seeing Sam that his visual design affected Ken's design for the Emperor. That Sam's hairstyle and glasses are very similar to Digimon Emperor's. I think even people haven't rewatched recently, like, there are pictures shared online of like, look at these two, they look similar. Whoa, mind blown. But
I'm slow, so my mind is a little blown right now.
Oh, wait, you didn't see it while watching?
I kept looking at it being like, this feels familiar, but
these glasses look really evil right now.
But I don't know why. I feel like these glasses are going to whip me.
It's the hair, really.
He felt evil, too. I think that's partially somewhat his actions, partially not,
partially, like,
maybe.
The tone and the way it's framed and stuff. But what was revealed to me this time was how both personas that we meet Ken with, when he's both, like, Genius Boy and Digimon Emperor Boy, both of those are Sam. And he even addresses this, like, in the episode, which I was surprised by, that he says, like, I forget what the line is exactly, but it's like...
He says he's never been Ken.
Yeah, he says, my whole life I've been trying to be someone else, whether it's acting tough as a Digimon Emperor or trying to be more like Sam. I've never been Ken.
Yeah.
And that really hit me that, like, so his genius persona is the side of Sam that everyone praised. And part of that is he, like, is implanted with a dark spore and gets genius powers and, like, whatever. Part of that is that, like, he gets magically in the same period, gets the ability to become really smart. And then at that point acts like Sam. But then his Digimon Emperor persona is the side of Sam that Ken feared, was afraid of. Like, especially the scene where he takes the Digivice and Sam scolds him. It was very reminiscent of the Digimon Emperor. Like, the glasses took on the tint that the Digimon Emperor's glasses have, like, of not being see-through and stuff, when he's mad at Ken.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty common anime thing.
Sure. I guess that's not...
When you obscure someone's eyes, you obscure the doorway to their soul or whatever. Like, it's a very common visual trope.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, it's still pretty parallel.
Yeah. It felt like a very mean moment from Sam that would totally be a Digimon Emperor moment.
But, like, I don't know, analyzing it, I didn't feel like Sam was being that mean.
Right.
Ken was in his room going through his stuff. Maybe this is just me as an older sibling, but, like, dude, get out of my room.
Well, okay, so I think there were two aspects of it. I think the way it was actually animated and framed and everything made it much more malicious and stuff than it actually was, because Ken was afraid. You know, like, I think effectively showed that Ken was afraid, even if it wasn't that big, like, what he was doing wasn't that scary.
Yeah.
But I think, where's the line? So the next thing I want to talk about was my notes titled Sam the Asshole. And...
Wow.
Bear in mind, he was 11 also.
Mm.
Yeah, he's not evil, he's just a little mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, no, I didn't say evil, it's just an asshole. And...
Asshole's kind of strong, too.
Yeah. A little bit. I mean, we get, like, one scene of him being mean, so it's, like, it's kind of... What do we extrapolate from? It's one data point, I don't know. The thing that spoke to me was that Sam... At first, I was like, whoa, Sam is mad at Ken, not because Ken took his stuff, but he's mad because Ken could have gotten hurt.
Right. But then it was like, oh, but they'll blame me.
Exactly. It was like, not like you're gonna be hurt, it's like, if you get hurt, they'll blame me. And it's like, oh god, like...
Well, I don't know. I, this time around, was seeing a lot of parallels between Sam and Matt. In that I think Sam did care a lot about his brother and didn't want him getting hurt. But then, like, after that initial scare, got mad and started saying other things to hurt Ken. Like, that's pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nice, but...
Yeah, I think you also have the most experience with this, being an older brother.
Yeah.
I've only been a younger brother.
Yeah.
I've been a nothing. I've been nobody.
There's a difference between a nobody and an only child, actually.
The other thing about Sam being mean was just the general ownership of the Digivice, which was really muddled in the English version. I think in the dub, he says, as soon as it lands, Sam says it's for him or something, it takes it. And, in the Japan, and then, like, Ken keeps referring to it as Sam's.
Yeah.
And it's really unclear whose it actually is.
It's actually Ken's.
Yeah, it's actually Ken's. Okay. And in the Japanese, it's a little less unclear. It's a little more clear. Like, I think there's one line where he thinks it's Sam's, and there's another line where it's like, no, it's actually Ken's. In the dub, it kind of goes back and forth a little bit. But I think in a way that makes sense, because, So Ken continuing to call it Sam's Digivice after Sam is dead is a way to kind of keep Sam alive. It's like, this is his thing that I took, even if it's a little bit like, haha, I took it. It's like, he still can be like, but it was Sam's, even though it wasn't actually Sam's.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but also Sam's a little bit of an asshole for just being like, this landed here, it's mine.
Well, it's in his room. It came out of his computer. Yeah. I'll fight you. And, I mean, I do think he was worried about Sam, or Ken, whatever.
Mm-hmm. The only last thing I had to say about that was that, like, this idea of something being destined for one person and then it being like, nope, it was actually this other person, seems very familiar to me. And the only example I could think of was Sora in Kingdom Hearts.
We are talking a lot about Kingdom Hearts today. We're talking a lot about Kingdom Hearts.
It was random we mentioned it before. But yeah, in Kingdom Hearts, like, Sora is like, well, the Keyblade has chosen you. And then at some point they're like, no, it was actually for Riku instead. And it gets a lot more muddled than that in the once is actually
don't even get started.
Don't every, try.
Everyone's chosen in the whatever. And but I couldn't think of any other examples. So I was wondering if you guys had any or if the audience did.
Where it seems like one person is chosen, but they're really it's not them.
Right. Like where it's like the person is for all effects chosen and acts like the chosen one and like is the main character or whatever, but then they're like, well, actually, you weren't the one that was chosen. And it's like the fact that it kind of is like, well, whoever was chosen really didn't matter that much, which isn't exactly what goes on in Digimon because Ken was the one that was chosen.
The Lego movie.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a common trope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here, I mean, I don't know that on TV tropes, there's the unchosen one, but that might just be the one who should have been chosen, but never even was.
I did find that when I was trying to research this, and I guess what I was looking for is things where it's like, not just that the person is unchosen, and, cause they say like Digimon Tamer is an example of that.
Yeah,
it's like,
does say Digimon.
Cause they're not chosen, they're just like people, which is kind of, Kanaka's, one of his goals in writing that season. But what I was thinking of is where it's like, person A, you think is the chosen one, it's like, no, it was actually person B, it was actually your rival all along. But yeah, a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like this, the talk between Ken's parents where they realize that they've been prioritizing the wrong things with both Ken and Sam, especially when they like, I can understand they're like, oh, we thought Ken was acting like Sam and like, maybe we were pressuring him to be too much like Sam. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And then they say like, and maybe we were even pressuring Sam too much too. I was like, whoa.
I liked that.
Yeah. They took it the extra mile. I was like, that's actually really interesting.
They took it the necessary mile.
Do you think that's necessary? It's Digimon.
Yeah. I think it was necessary.
Oh God, they did it.
Yeah.
Also like, I'm pretty sure at the end of the episode, Ken still kind of refers to Sam disappearing as his own fault.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some issues to work through.
Yeah.
I can't just get through all of it in one coma.
True. It takes several comas.
Ken definitely has much blame still.
Yeah.
Do we know for a fact what happened to Sam? I know I've asked this before.
I wasn't sure because like I watched the episode in English and in Japanese, and then in right of my notes was like, wait, did Ken push him?
No, I don't think Ken pushed him.
But we don't see any detail. So like, it could be that Ken was about to get hit and Sam pushed him out of the way, or, you know, like we have no idea what happened aside from like, Sam flying. And I think they say a bus. Did they make that up?
I don't know.
He definitely gets hit by some vehicle.
Okay. So that is, okay.
That's how I thought it went.
Right, like, I can't tell how much is like my imagination filling in the parts they showed and what was actually showed.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that he got hit by a car of some sort.
Maybe it was a plane, Ashley. Don't judge.
Maybe
it was a missile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was that missile. Who knows?
No.
Maybe
in the water.
Maybe it was the missile from our war game. And this is actually a different universe where that missile landed. And that explains why Tyora is not canon in this universe.
No.
Good response. So Pettis reacts. We're in this segment going to be reacting to specific things from the episode that each of us collect with images or gifts or whatever, and also new Digimon that are introduced. So we're going to start with Digimon. So the first one was Tortomon.
Boo.
Boo. Thumbs down. Ash, thumbs down.
I have no reaction to this.
Exactly. No reaction. Xvmon. I don't know. Kind of boring design. It's kind of just a buff dude with wings.
I like Xvmon.
I like him, but he is very boring. He's just a bigger blue dinosaur with an X.
I guess a lot of Vmon's evolutions are boring on purpose.
Why?
I think they're very simple. This is what the thing is.
The Xvmon especially more so than Magnemon, which I remember that was Andrew's complaint about Magnemon.
I like Magnemon.
Yeah, I like Magnemon.
No, Xvmon is like simple to the extreme.
Yeah. we accept simple rookies because they're smaller mass, but once they're bigger and it's the same amount of complexity, it's like, well, that's just weird.
Yeah.
That's just a dude.
Like, if you look at, like, well, I guess you're going to say Stingmon, though.
Yeah.
If you just, like, put Xvmon and Stingmon next to you, like, Stingmon has a lot going on in his, like, armor weirdness. I don't know. We can go on.
Okay.
Go on.
So, next one is Leafmon. He's kind of cute. I like him. Which is
I love Wormmon's Leafmon. Baby. I love Leafmon and his evolved form, which has some complicated name that I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that one. I didn't write down it because I don't think I mentioned
it. It's like Minomon, I think.
Yeah, Minomon. Is he even shown? Oh, he's shown, like, bouncing in bed with Ken.
Yeah.
I don't like him. I don't like Minomon. Like, what is he? Like, is that like a pinecone?
He's a bagworm, I think.
Ugh.
Yeah, he's a bagworm larva.
Okay, that's weird. Leafmon's pretty cute, though.
He's so cute.
What is his nose?
Yeah, I'm a little hung up on the... What is Wormmon's nose?
Whoa.
It's his mouth.
Leafmon?
It's his mouth, yeah.
Oh, so I'm reading from Digimon Wiki. Leafmon is a slime Digimon whose name and design are derived from leaf. Whoa. Mind blown.
Mind blown.
Is that what the thing over his head is?
Okay, so the next one is Thundermon, which is like, I don't even remember Thundermon.
No, it's boring.
Who cares?
Thundermon looks a lot like a like Mamemon.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's Thunderballmon in Japanese.
Well, that's basically his whole, that's everything about
that's,
him.
That's
yeah.
what he is, yeah.
Yeah. You got it right in Japanese there.
Next one is Ankylomon, which is based on some kind of dinosaur, right?
It's all right.
Yeah, but I think he's kind of ugly.
Ankylosaurus magniventris. Oh, also just Ankylosaurus. Yeah, I feel like I think he's too similar to Digimon for some reason. I think it's the color scheme. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Like, Armadillomon, yeah, never really gets out of this yellow.
Well, Samarimon.
Samarimon isn't.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But it's just like,
Samarimon is weird.
I guess what he does is different than Digimon, but I just, in my head, associate them way too similarly. I'm not sure why exactly. Because I don't think it's just color, because that's ridiculous. They're not uniforms.
Well, they both still have a digging theme going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Like an earth theme. But now that I think about it, all the new kids Digimon have Digivolutions that are very similar to their rookies. And I'm wondering if that's because, if that's in a way sort of a reference to, maybe not a reference, but is tied into how they're not really chosen, which you said earlier.
Hmm.
I wonder.
Hmm. But
it's interesante.
Is that, I don't see how that connects. Cause like, I would think them being chosen would actually make them more, the designs more consistent like that. Cause.
Why?
I don't know.
Well,
there's no logic.
I do have theories about this, and maybe I'll talk about them next time.
Okay.
After we see some more Digivolutions.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, next one is Stingmon.
Stingmon's
awesome. Stingmon's the best.
Stingmon, yeah, totally.
I don't know what it, like, I guess it's kind of cheap because, like, they make him cool by anthropomorphizing. You know the word I'm saying. By doing that to Wormmon. But, like, he doesn't look like Wormmon at all. So I guess it's a little cheap.
Yeah, but it still feels legit because he's still a bug Digimon.
Yeah. It's also cool how they take, like, Wormmon's voice and, like, make it cooler. Actually, do it.
Now I'm not going to be able to do it. Stingmon.
Stingmon. Oh. I don't even know if this one counts. Yukimi Bodemon were the little things
who?
That Mimi
the what?
Was. The little
baby white things.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're,
Yukimi Bodemon.
They're alright. They're cute.
They're just
I like
generic
regular
baby.
Bodemon more.
Yeah. Apparently Yukimi means snow watching. So they're snow watching Bodemon. Interesting.
Makes sense.
Oh, I guess I could have known that from the kanji. It's like Yuki, snow, and Mi is watch. Anyway. Next one is Golemon. Meh.
He's okay. It's pretty
but Golemon's Jewish.
Oh yeah.
the golem legend is Jewish, yes.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't think he's Jewish though.
There was something I read that like something about his name being Rockmon as well. They said that so according to Digimon Wiki, in early broadcasts of the episode, they referred to him as Rockmon and they changed it in later broadcasts.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure it was on Netflix, like Golemon. That's weird. The next one is Aquilamon.
No, I don't like him.
I like him okay.
I don't know why.
I feel like he's too similar to Halcyon. Same problem with Ankylomon. Like, I'm just like, it's another bird.
And he's like uglier though.
Well, this is kind of a pattern with the bird Digimon. Like, Bergemon, ugh.
That's true. They need to learn to draw better birds.
But I mean, like, Garudamon's awesome.
I guess. It's not, like, amazing, though.
I like how the Digimon Wiki article, like, it's not enough to say that Aquilamon comes from Aquila, which is Latin for eagle. They have to, like, give the scientific name for the, like, genus of eagle.
Oh. Amazing.
Helaetus luciophallus. Oh, it has phallus in the name. That's cool.
Because it has two gigantic horns.
Anyway, next one is Minotaurmon, which is like, whatever. It's a Minotaur.
Yeah. Boring.
I don't even remember.
It was the thing that destroyed the bridge.
Oh,
it like lasted 2 seconds, so I don't
it's
blame
pretty
you.
Ugly.
And Okuamon was the gray Kuwagamon.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares? Kuwagamon.
Yeah.
Grayscale Kuwagamon.
It's weird that he's like stronger than Kuwagamon, but was just gray version. And Paildramon. Paildramon's pretty cool.
Eh.
You don't like him?
No.
Not really.
Why not?
I never did.
He's weird. I don't
understand his name. Like, I thought there must be something that pale means, but like, according to the wiki, it's just bucket.
Pale.
And
wow.
I'm like, is that literally supposed to be a bucket in his head? Like, I don't understand.
Amazing. That just proves that he is extra not cool.
I think, like, if you look at Exvimon and look at Stingmon, like, I'm like, there's no way they work together. And then, like, this actually works pretty well.
No, I don't like the dark green and the blue. I don't know. I just don't like it. If
the colors don't match.
Yeah, the colors don't match.
The colors don't match. And, like, he's weird looking.
And why does he have, like, gun turrets attached to his waist? Like, I just don't understand. I don't understand.
Because guns are cool.
It doesn't make any sense. I do not understand this Digimon.
I think Magnemon also has gun turrets there.
Yeah, but design. They're not dealing with Magnemon at all.
They're not dealing with him? What do you mean?
He's not there.
Like, it's not Magnemon.
It's, Exvimon.
It's Exvimon.
Oh, you mean, like, it doesn't make sense where they come from. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I guess. Isolate looks cool.
I disagree.
The next one that showed up was Chibomon. Is their logo. Yay.
Pretty cute.
Yeah. I could have sworn in the episode someone I think Chibomon referred to himself as Chibimon, like with an I instead of an O.
No, I don't think so.
That happened.
Okay, well, I just missed that.
Demi-Vimon is cuter than Chibomon.
Anyway, and Kunamon. Kunamon, whether those, like,
little bugs.
Crappier Wormmon things, yeah.
I like them. I like their design more than I like Wormmons.
Oh, look at these, remember. Like, it reminds me of how insect Digimon, or insect Pokemon are so much more prominent in Pokemon than insect Digimon are in Digimon. Cause, you know, like, you start off with these insect Pokemon that are, like, trainer. They're, like, beginners Pokemon. Jeez, I can't get them straight. And it reminds me, I guess Weedle is what I'm thinking of. Totally just a Weedle.
Maybe.
Ooh, Arukenimon.
Okay, but no, wait. I don't understand why they're a Digimon who can take on the form of humans still. I just don't understand.
Okay, it actually makes sense a little bit.
It does?
Kind of.
Yeah, you'll see.
What about Mummymon? I guess he just always looks like a human.
You'll also see that.
So, later. I mean, spoilers if you care what happens at the end of 02.
Don't tell her. Don't tell her.
Oh, I shouldn't tell her? Okay, I won't tell
her.
No! No spoilers then. Ooh, looking up the article for Kunemon, apparently there's, like, Kunemon has a partner named Keith. I feel sorry for Keith. Anyway, Arukenimon, I don't like her spider design, but I don't like spiders.
Her spider design was weird, troubling.
Troubling?
Well, her waist gets really... but, okay.
It's an unrealistic image for spider women.
Yeah. Exactly.
I like her, mysterious woman design better. Same with Mummymon. I like their human designs much more.
I don't really like... Well, I like Mummymon's human's design better. I don't really like Arukenimon's human design.
Oh, really? I think I'm kind of the opposite.
I don't like her shoes.
What are her shoes?
They're, like, purple and they do the flippy up toe thing.
Oh, like a clown thing?
I don't like it.
Ooh.
Oh, they do.
It's not too bad, though. I thought it would, like, curve all the way around or something. But...
It's just looking at her in her spider form. Like, why is she wearing...
Ew, her waist. It's such a tiny... It's like Taylor Swift. She's Taylor Swift. That's why she looks evil.
Well, why does she have, like...
That's why Taylor Swift looks evil. She's Arukenimon. Sorry.
Why does she have what?
Why does she have, like, clothes over half of her face, the top half of her... I just don't understand.
It looks like a bandit, kind of. Like, covering her eyes.
I really don't know. I think I like Arukenimon's spider form more than her human form.
What?
Yeah.
That's gross.
Also, she has, like, eyes on her stomach in spider form.
Yeah.
That's a pretty normal bug thing. Not for spiders, but...
But then she has a face!
Bugs have faces, but they also have eye spots to creep people out.
Oh, I don't want to think about that.
Yeah. It's a whole survival
thing. Oh my god, Jeff.
Are there spiders
in... I don't know anything.
Actually, are there spiders in your attic? Am I going to attack that spider right now?
It's not an attic.
Well, it's kind of an attic.
It is not.
it has vaulted ceilings. Anyway, and Mummymon kind of lumped him in there.
He felt very Puppetmon-esque to me, which was kind of nice in a twisted, sick way.
Like, visually?
Visually, because he had a gun, right? And...
Oh, I guess they don't censor that.
Yeah, well, they didn't censor that. What's up?
And that one shoots lightning instead of bullets.
Behaviorally, he's a little kooky. I don't know. He just felt Puppetmon-esque to me. What's the deal?
I see it.
Yeah.
So now we're going to move on to images and GIFs.
Okay, Jeffrey, you gathered these because Jaster and I don't have
them. Yep, it's just me.
Yeah, I'm never going to gather
these. Not even images? These.
No.
We'll see. So this is Stingmon and Thundermon fighting, but it's like they're dancing.
Yeah.
I thought it was ridiculous.
It did strike me as ridiculous. Yeah.
He's such a good dancer, though.
Because I was like, wait, what is Stingmon doing? Oh, right. Thundermon is there.
I mean, they're basically doing a fight. Like, it's not that ridiculous. Like, it's like he's kind of fighting.
It's actually clearer in this GIF than it was in the episode.
Yeah.
These are really good, especially out of context.
Oh, yeah. We'll be the judge of that.
Do you not remember what it is? So there are two of them that kind of are a pair.
I don't know what you're going to post, no.
Taking a while to upload.
Oh.
So it's the Davis. I don't even know how to describe this face. Where he becomes a giant head and Cody replies with a giant head.
This episode was...
These will be in the show notes, but I don't really know how to describe them. It was like, I guess Davis was yelling at Cody for some reason. I don't remember what was going on.
Yeah,
they were arguing about like being too quick to do something or other, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And then Cody was like, you can't just jump in, Turtle, the blah, 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 conclusions.
Because Cody's right. They actually admitted that Cody is usually right in these episodes. And I was like, thank you, finally.
Well, except now he's wrong about Ken. Like,
yeah, well.
It's unfortunate.
He has every reason not to trust Ken.
I just like Davis's reaction to Cody's big head.
Right?
His face is
That's a really great. Cute Davis face.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it.
He's kind of cute.
And then the last image is just all the cockroaches. So
gross.
Oh, gross. Jeff.
Ugh. So I was in Florida recently for a couple of days for my uncle's wedding. And of course I saw palmetto bugs. Like,
yeah.
Like in a garage, like when the lights went on, they just like bugs scurrying about. And I was like, oh.
And then Jeff died.
Inside. It was like this image, but there are only two of them, so I mean.
They also weren't giant.
Yeah, but I mean, this is like from the camera, you don't know whether they're giant or normal size.
Yeah, that's
true. I can't imagine Davis fighting one of them, like, with his hands, like, ugh.
He definitely does. he did that.
gross. Okay.
I think he actually used his feet. Does that make you feel better?
Okay, yeah.
He kicked it over his head.
It's like the bug was on top of him and he kicked it over his head.
The bug was on
head.
Top of him. Ashley, stop.
Are you actually more scared of bugs than Ashley is? Because I remember Ashley always made me take the bugs outside in college.
I wanted you to kill them. You were the one who decided to take them outside.
Well, I'm humane, okay?
This place is so new to me, I have so many unanswered questions.
So how does the needle from Arukenimon know what Digimon to become when she throws it at Control Spire?
Does it?
Actually, every Control Spire has a desire and has...
Well, just what makes it become a certain Digimon, then? I just don't understand.
Maybe she chooses, I don't know.
Maybe she has the same random.org organizer thing that I used for our digital... For our ridiculous dialogue draft.
Yeah, maybe. In her hair. It just goes...
Yeah.
The brain just connects it to her hair and just says it.
Well, she's a Digimon. Who knows?
Okay.
She's in the digital world.
Yep.
So my first question is just titled, Everything About Tortomon Urinating.
Please explain
I'll explain, but it doesn't make any more sense.
Okay.
It makes some more sense. So in the Japanese, I haven't actually watched that episode in Japanese, because why would I subject myself to more of that episode? But what I read was that when they run across Tortomon and piss him off, it's because he's trying to pee and they stop him from peeing and...
Piss him off?
Ha!
I'm going to insert the AOL sign-off noise in that pause. And yeah, so then I think he's like mad at them for like, he just wants to finish peeing, but they're in the way of that somehow. And then at the end, he gets to pee and that's why so they see him from above and they're like, oh no, what's he doing? Cause he's peeing.
And then he washes his hands.
Right. And they're like glad that he washed his hands after peeing. But like, it's weird cause in the dub, they kept that like, what is he doing line? And I'm like, that makes no sense without knowing that he's peeing. Like. And just the whole concept of, like, Vimon's evolution coming from a turtle wanting to keep peeing and they interrupted him. Like, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
These are the images that I have found for this. It's quite awful.
Oh, you found? Oh, okay. Oh, God. Ew, so he, like, jumps over a pool of... Oh, God. This is really explicit. I assumed he was, like, in the water. Oh, God. If you want to be scarred, check the show notes.
Thanks, Jeff. Actually, that's Ashley.
Yeah,
Ashley, why?
I just wanted to see what would come up if I searched for that, and that's what
Oh my
on.
God.
I didn't make this stuff up, guys.
Oh my God. Why?
Okay, these next two I have are quick.
Okay.
Why does Sam refer to Ken as Kenny Boy? Anyone else finds that weird?
Kenny Boy?
I have no answer for this. It's a little bit weird. Then again, I had really weird nicknames for my brother, too.
Andy Boy?
No.
Andy Boy?
Never. But, like, other weird things. My sister. I called him Jujubee for a while.
Are you sure you should be admitting to that? I don't even know what to think.
I don't care. He's not here.
What is Jujubee?
Yeah, like the candy.
Is that a candy?
Yes.
I used to be called Jeffrita by my sister.
Aww.
This one was like, I guess we addressed it before, about why did Ken call his mom Mama? Mama! Mama!
Okay. Why? When Izzy is telling the story about Omnimon and Genii and losing Ultimate Digivolutions, Kari was like, yeah, Izzy's told me this story before. I'm like, Kari, don't play with me. You were there.
The way I rationalized that one to myself is that he later went over it again with Kari and, like, explained certain things.
She was in the scenes. Like,
I know she was.
And she also seemed like she didn't remember the story. So it was like she's been in the
they
scenes.
They discussed theories with it or something. I don't know.
Like, now imagine, like, Kari was there, but she needs, like, extra tutoring on this lesson. So, like.
And then how did Izzy has footage of.
Well, it was on his computer, right?
Of XVmon and Stigmon digivolving. And I'm like, wait, that's not a thing that you just, like, see. That's, like, an audience thing. Wait, how did you get this footage? This makes no sense.
Well, he was monitoring the situation, except his screen only showed the bleepling, the whatever you call that.
Yeah, the actual repeated sequence of.
Yeah, whatever.
Made no sense.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Oh, but there was one thing about that I didn't really notice. I didn't think of about until now, but like, Izzy's like, we need to wait for my program, but it's not here. So I guess I'll tell you anyway. And I was like, okay, what's this weird? Why does he keep talking about his program? And I guess it's supposed to be something that happens later, right, Ash?
I don't remember anything about his program. I think they may have just been making Izzy a huge nerd.
Yeah, it went on for a while as a joke.
I think his program is Genii.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, maybe?
Because I remember Genii appearing from Izzy's room.
I remember Genii appearing. I don't remember him appearing from Izzy's room. It may be possible.
Well, he shows up everywhere, so.
It's true.
As Santa Claus, literally.
Yes. I'm excited. We're not there yet, though.
I'm really confused about whose room that was in Ken's house. Because it was Sam's room when he was younger, but then it's Ken's room now.
They might have shared it.
But there was only one
bed.
There
is bunk bed. What?
No, it was a bunk bed that didn't have a bottom bunk.
Then it was Sam's room, and now it's Ken's.
Yeah, why don't you accept
this?
He's
like, I took my older brother's room. That's why I killed him. To get the better room.
I just hated Ken's parents. They were like, oh, Ken went, like, a little crazy, and we, like, just totally accepted that he became Ken, or that he became Sam. It's fine. It's just like, they were like, huh, maybe losing his older brother would be scarring. Weird.
Yeah.
Well, everyone was kind of out of it. You know, Ken was like, where's Sam? It's like, you watched him die, didn't you? I mean, maybe he didn't.
Oh, he was there, wasn't he?
I don't know. So I had this another question, but I'll try to find it by the time we make the show notes, but sorry I can't send it to you guys now. But so where did Kari get her own room from?
Kari has her own room?
Yeah. They showed her with Gatomon in it all alone.
Okay. But maybe Tai just wasn't there.
No, it was a different room than what we've seen before. And I mean, it's a little, I don't know. I am asking the question, but also giving the answer, or possible answer. This is a post I saw on Tumblr, which I'll hopefully find, where they basically like showed all the images of the Yagami or Kamiya household. And it's like really big for an apartment. So they speculated like it could be like they took the same bedroom and just split it in half, which seems a little ridiculous to me, but I guess it's a possible explanation. But I remember we worried about that because we were like, they have bunk beds, but they're like pretty old at this point. That's kind of weird. I mean, I guess it
I still swear there are bunk beds, though.
And, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's not actually weird. It's only weird because they're a different gender.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, it's also a little weird for age reasons, because after a while, they just don't make bunk beds in that size anymore.
True. Well, Ashley still sleeps in a bunk bed, so.
Well, Ashley's tiny.
That's true. Yeah, that's also true.
Well, not like, not in like everyday life, but in parents' house. It's like 5 feet tall. Literally. I was going for an exaggeration. I actually said
No, I'm actually 5 feet tall.
I accidentally said the actual height. Yeah. Okay. So everything about dark spores, like there's no mention of dark spores in this arc at all.
Nope.
It is a pretty big part of what turns Ken evil. Like,
well, don't talk about it yet.
We talk about spoilers. It's just really confusing because, like, having just read summaries of the plots of the Wonderstone games, I am, like, really unclear where anything happens in this timeline. There was
like when Ken goes into the computer, comes back, and gets chided by Sam. I think that might be the entire event. That might be the entire events of the one Wonder Swan game that he's in, which is Tag Tamers. But I'm not sure, because at the end of that game, he's supposed to get the Dark Spore and then be sick right away. So like that doesn't really make much sense. And maybe it's after Sam died that all the events happen.
It would make sense because then he'd be protective of Ryo as an older brother figure.
True.
Dunno.
That makes sense. That also explains why they don't really explain that really much in this episode.
I'll have to see what Ken is wearing, because I think he might have already been contacted by Oikawa by the time he got the Dark Spore.
Huh. So that would be weird.
Dunno.
Huh. Because, yeah, I guess I wonder what Digivice he has in the Wonder Swan games. Does he have a normal adventure Digivice, or does he have a D3 from the Dark Ocean? If someone knows, we would like to know. Also, there's the scene where Ken is like, I'll never remember the first time I looked at the digital world. It was enormous. And he's looking at the Dark Ocean, not the digital world.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the deal with TK playing with building blocks in his room? Like, he's 11.
I don't know, man.
And he went to brag to Davis about the building blocks he's making? Like, I mean, that was just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no answer for that.
That was really silly dubbed out. Like, but, like, I have no idea why he was building building blocks in the first place. Like, what?
He was that bored.
And there were only, like, 5 of them. It was very confusing.
It was very few building blocks. It was just like, okay, you go there, TK. I mean, this doesn't really...
Although, he has a flashback about building blocks with Matt in season 1, so I guess
they are important.
That's sad. That is lots of sad right now.
I would have to go back and look at that and see if there was any connection in that episode at all, but I don't think there was.
Yeah, I think it was just building blocks.
Yeah. There's so much going on with TK that they just do not address.
I apparently messed up the frame rate on this GIF, because it's going way too fast, but... There's a scene where Upamon is eating, and he's using chopsticks, but has no hands.
Holy shit.
I assume Cody was doing that for
him. Think I assumed Cody was doing.
Right, but, like, he's totally holding a sword. Also, that sword looks very phallic in that picture.
Especially so in that GIF.
Yeah, the frame rate is way too high, too. It's, like, speeding by really fast.
Hilarious.
Oh, and then, why was... When Thundermon's introduced, he just, and this is like a fairly stupid, like, oh, they just couldn't animate things correctly, but like they put him facing the camera instead of Digimon. Like Thundermon appears and is like, look at me, camera. I'm Thundermon. And Digimon turns to be like, what's that? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I feel like maybe they only could draw him in one direction and then they, I don't know what was going on there.
Doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense.
Why did, apparently, these are chronologically ordered, and all the ones near the end have images or gifts associated with them. I mean, okay, so there's the big unanswered question plot hole thing of the crests, and, like, are they physical or not? Because, like, it definitely seems like when they give up the crests, they were physical, but then Pokemon had destroyed them, so, like, is this retconning the ending of Venture? I don't think it is. I don't know. I think they gave up the power of the crests, and that's what was... So, like, a Pokemon destroyed the physical crests, and they were giving up the power, and they didn't explicitly show physical things going out. They showed, like, the power going out of them.
Yes.
That's my theory.
I would agree with you.
And the last thing I have, which is a GIF.
So excited.
Since when can Submarimon fly?
It's going to hit that bathtub, too.
That's where it's going. It's trying to drill into the bathtub.
Oh, okay.
But, like, why is it flying?
I think that
it's not a bathtub. That's the washing machine.
Whatever. Yeah. The force of the Digivolution just propelled
it. Oh, yeah. The Digivolution just, like, rocket up.
Yeah. That's my conclusion.
I like that theory.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Ridiculous dialogue draft, where we go around and each pick our top 3 funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from the episodes. But you only like the silly ones, audience, so we'll skew towards that. Because you get to choose a winner on our poll thingy on our site. Go there. Click a box. And... this is not a sports draft. I don't know in what universe Jeff thinks it's like a sports draft. Because we're not voting on teams. So only one can win. It doesn't make no sense. I don't understand.
It's an unanswered question, actually.
Yes.
So my first one is from episode 29, which is the last one. And it's when they're Davis, Ken, and Cody are in Arukenimon's web. And Davis is just complaining because he can't get out. And he's like,
this is why I don't surf the internet. I hate websites.
I appreciated that one.
It's like,
from a time when, like, general concepts of the internet were jokes. Like, I think at this point would be like, wait, what? A website? Oh, you mean like a physical web? Oh, like, I think at this point, website is so common that you wouldn't even think of it as a joke.
Got it.
And surf the internet. I feel like surf the internet had like a wave of where like everyone said that, and now it's just like, this is ridiculous. We just go on Facebook.
People don't say surf the internet anymore?
Yeah, what? Surf the web?
Don't they?
I think only as like a nostalgic 90s throwback kind of thing.
Really?
I don't think so.
Asher still says it, obviously.
I don't know if I say it, but I wouldn't feel weird hearing it.
I'd feel violated.
You feel I'm sorry for you then. I'll tag it in the future. So this is from episode 27, which is the first part of, no, it is the second part of the Paildramon thing, and they've just finished the fight and they're back in the real world, and somebody got off the phone with Izzy, and Davis says,
"Sometimes I wish he weren't so smart so he didn't have so much to tell us."
I was like, oh, Davis, you don't know the half of it. That episode. Poor kids.
Oh, no. What do I choose? Okay, I'm going to choose one. Episode 23. It's when Ken is in Primary Village. I don't know what the baby Digimon is called, but it's, like, harassing him and stuff.
What did it look like?
It's red.
Punimon.
Oh, that's what I guessed, but I wasn't sure. Sweet.
Okay, and Punimon says,
"It's too late for you now. You can't turn back time. What's done is done. You've made your bed, now lie in it. I'd go on, but I can't think of any more cliches."
You stole my line.
Just so you know, Andrew also wrote that one down. I have his notes.
It's too good. It's too good.
You stole my line.
Good. That's my goal in life.
Okay, it's not to go with my number three pick, thanks. Okay. And it's when they're trying to digivolve and finding out that the control device has been reactivated, and they're like, "We can't digivolve, we don't know why." And she has nothing to do with it because she has lost her crest. But anyway, Gatchaman tries and fails and is like,
"No go for Gato."
Wow, I didn't even notice that.
I thought that one was funny.
She doesn't get a sequence, like, but she's just like, "No go for Gato." I can't do the cat voice, but it sounds even more ridiculous in her cat voice. So you'll hear it, audience, but we won't.
No go for Gato.
Of course.
No, you can't do it. Don't even try.
Ash, that didn't happen.
Stingmon! Just gonna do that every time. Okay, Azure.
My turn again? Alright.
Yep. Yes.
So this is from episode 22, which is full of gems, if you can call it that. And Davis and Veemon are talking, and Veemon says,
"Gatomon wouldn't like me more if you could digivolve."
"Well, it couldn't hurt. She doesn't like you now."
I was like, "Oh,
sick!"
It was good.
Oh no, now I have to pick another one. So hard.
Usually you're so on top of this, Ashley.
Oh, I'm not. I'm so insecure now that we have a poll that I don't win.
I never win this poll. Nobody thinks I'm funny.
No, Asher's winning the current one, though. You're winning it with Red Eye Reduction.
Only by one point, though.
By one point, though.
It was winning by, like, double for a while, and then I guess a lot of people voted.
I am?
Yeah.
Yeah, you.
I don't remember picking that quote.
It's from the Dark Ocean episode.
I mean, I know what episode it's from, but I don't remember it.
Well,
picking it.
I'm pretty sure we have a recording of you saying it, so.
I guess.
Would that be legally admissible in court?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go with episode 22. Let's stick to episode 22. It's the red Vegemon is handing out food to, I don't remember who he's handing out, random Digimon, Gotsumon, the like. And he's like,
"Today's entree will be tuna surprise. Unfortunately, we didn't have any tuna. That's the surprise!"
It's so much funnier in his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is going to be.
It's weird how, like, I feel like I wrote down so many lines and I'm looking at my whole list, and, like, when you start saying episode 22 and the Digimon that is, I'm always like, oh, it must be this one. But, like, we picked such different things.
Yeah, you guys have not picked ones that I, like, put in my top.
Well, we used to pick more of the same things, I feel, but I think now we find different things funny.
Yeah. Jeffy, it's your turn.
Sorry, I was just counting. I wrote down 31 different quotes.
Oh my god, Jeff, why?
I don't know, I find that easier than, like, deciding at the time if it's actually good or bad. Like, I want to look at them all in context. but.
Wow.
But then I actually like ranked, and I, the ones that I picked that were good enough to rank were only 3, 8. Anyway, okay, so here's my third one. From episode 28, and it's when Davis, they're entering the Giga House, and Davis says,
"This place has more bugs in it than a secondhand computer!"
See, as soon as you said that, I knew that's what you were gonna pick.
Yeah, I have that one written down too.
Asha.
I'm trying to pick between two.
How dare you?
Sophie's choice.
I know. Okay. This one's from episode 27, which is, again, the second part of Paildramon. And Yoli's like, "You're a real bad egg, lady!" And Arukenimon's like,
"And soon you will all be scrambled."
I was like, oh yes, this is what I came back to the show for. This is it. This is right here. This is the heart and soul of the fandom. Egg jokes.
It's true. They make cat jokes, egg jokes.
They make, yeah.
Running gags.
Yes.
Oh no, I have to go out with an epic bang. Not in love with any of these. Well, I'm gonna go back to episode 23 and the baby Digimon because they were the best. And I think it's Chunimon, is that what you said?
Is the red one, yeah.
Yes. Again, says,
"After all you did, we're not going to welcome you back with open arms, even if we had them."
Yes.
Passive aggressive baby Digimon are amazing.
Yeah. I could see all those jokes. I think there's only major jokes in that episode could, like, if you expect a really serious tone from them, ruin it. But I feel like the things they said were actually, like, pretty judgmental.
They were actually pretty funny.
Well, they were funny and judgmental at the same time. I think they effectively were jokes and...
Yeah.
And hurtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jokes can be hurtful.
Jokes often are hurtful.
Yes.
You can find the show notes for this episode at podigis.com/206. That's where you should go to vote on the ridiculous dialogue draft, leave feedback in the comment section, read everyone else's cool comments, submit your own unanswered questions, submit your own ridiculous dialogue draft picks, or find extensive notes on everything we've mentioned on the show. Follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook. We put out a lot of extra stuff on social media, and it's not just announcing new episodes, so don't miss out. You can also send us feedback on social media or in the discussion threads on With the Will and the Digimon subreddit. Want to show support for the show? It'd be awesome if you leave us a review on iTunes, which you can do in the iTunes app on your computer or from the podcast app on any iOS device. The most popular Pokemon podcast currently has 28 times more reviews than we do. Come on, let's show the world that people care about Digimon. Our goal is to have enough reviews that potential listeners and dormant Digimon fans become like Kari in the Dark Ocean episode and can't help but be sucked into the podcast. Next time on Podigious, killing 0-2 birds with one stone. In episodes 30 through 37, Black War Greymon makes stone soup out of the new kids' Digivolutions. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop Digimon.
I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
Hi.
Was that
Hi.
Intentionally?
Hi.
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 Hi. And Asher Softman.
Hey.
I was trying to do the, what's the bad guy in Sherlock? I can't remember his name.
Moriarty?
Yeah, Moriarty. His like, hoi.
Hoi.
Okay, anyway.
In episode 25, Spirit Needle, the kids debate whether to let Ken into the middle school. Nah. Damn you.
Into middle school.
Into middle
Ken,
school.
Ken, you can't come to school.
Into the middle school. In episode 28, The Insect Master's Trap, now that the crests are officially out of the picture, the dub writers focus their premature name-dropping skills on Arukenimon, the mysterious woman. It's so true. I was so confused.
I know, right? Like, it's even in the Japanese one. You can see them writing Arukenimon on the blackboard.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's in katakana. Yeah. Huh.
Well, the kids cash in on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids nostalgia while ignoring General Akbar's advice, ambuscades?
Ambush escapades. Ambuscades.
Ambuscades.
Correct?
I just looked up synonyms for trap.
Ambuscades. Ambuscades.
Who's General Pick whichever Akbar? One.
It's a trap!
Oh, that guy.
Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I only trust Kari.
Don't trust a hoe, Ashley.
Never trust a hoe.
Oh, don't get that stuck in my head.
Yeah, that's
my
doesn't...
favorite. I don't what?
There's a song that I can get stuck in Ashley's head with like two
no,
words.
No, don't do it. Don't you dare.
I'll
do
send it,
it
to Ash later. It was a Fox Kids
send
commercial.
Send it to me now.
Oh my god.
Okay, okay.
No.
I'll put it in Slack.
Okay. No, I heard it. No. It'll ruin your life, Asher.
It only ruins Asher's life.
Oh my god, I remember this.
It.
It's terrible.
Oh my god, I love this.
No.
All summer.
No.
Oh my god. Okay. Oh. All right, we can continue. Sorry.
Beats the heat with the DG beats all summer. Wait, we didn't explain why Andrew's not here.
Oh yeah, we didn't.
He's in Japan.
Is he going to Odaiba?
I don't think so.
What?
He's mostly going to be in Tokyo.
Yeah, Odaiba's in Tokyo.
Yeah, but like, I don't think he's going to that part. He's mostly, it's a school thing, so he's mostly sticking by, what is it, Sophia University? Oh. And then he has one trip somewhere else. I don't have his itinerary.
Why not?
Anyway, right now he's on a plane.
Is he going to Shinjuku?
Yes, I do think so.
Shibuya?
I don't know.
So he likes Tamers better than Adventure is what you're saying, if he goes to Shinjuku.
It's what I'm saying is he has no control over where he's going.
We tried to have him, we tried to record this yesterday so that he could be on it, but it didn't work.
Didn't work out.
So it'll be Angel coming back in a couple episodes.
Because he's actually in Japan for a while.
I am jealous of him. I want to go to Japan, and I want to go to every landmark from Digimon, and...
Okay, Jeff, that is, like, the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
Ever, really?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's not the only thing I want to do. I want to go to places from other anime.
Yeah, this is super nerdy. Oh my god, you are such an American tourist. You are like...
I'm a weeaboo tourist, not an American tourist.
Yeah. Oh, you're a weeaboo.
Weeaboo tourist.
You're not supposed to be... Whatever.
You're not supposed to want to be a weeaboo.
I mean, it's not that I'm dissing the culture or anything. It's just like, there's other stuff in Japan. Like...
People?
Like... People
3D
their
people?
Own actual culture. Yeah, there are 3D people in Japan.
What?
I found that really weird playing Danganronpa and whatever his name is, the like fan fiction guy. How he would talk about people being 3D, and I was like, is that a phrase people use to describe real people? That
yeah, actually.
Me. Yeah. I really hated that guy though. I was glad when he died. I can't remember his name. Ash, what's his name?
You were glad somebody died
in Danganronpa.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
Oh, the weeaboo who died? Yamada.
Yamada?
Or Hifumi Yamada, yeah.
Oh, they all have like two names. Like, why do they do that?
Well, Jeff, you also have two names.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
It's crazy. Crazy talk.
I don't remember the commercials that well.
The only commercial voice I know is...
All summer.
Oh my god.
I wonder who chose the title of this next section.
I have no idea. Why would I name it real or not real? I don't know.
Is there a reference there? I don't get it.
I don't know. So, okay, I don't know how.
Why did... Oops, I did the wrong thing.
Oops, I did it again.
I played with your heart.
There's a difference between a nobody and an only child, Ashley. A nobody doesn't have a heart.
Yeah.
Aww. Well,
except now they can get them, apparently. I don't know, man.
They're just bodies. A little, like, heartless are just hearts and nobody's just bodies. I mean, it makes no sense.
So can they fuse together and become a person?
No. So once the nobody is destroyed and the heartless is destroyed, then the original body comes back, because that makes sense.
Oh.
Like, okay. So once each of them is destroyed, they come back together, united, as the original person. So it's like, what was the point? Like, there's no death? I mean, like, what? What's going on? Is basically Kingdom Hearts at this point. And there are 13 Xehanorts, so that'll be fun. Leafmon is a slime Digimon whose name and design are derived from leaf. Whoa! Mind blown! Oh, Ashley, side note. I may have agreed to, at some point, if I become rich enough, pay my aunt to kill bugs for us, like a full-time.
Yeah, like that's her. She's going to live in our apartment and just kill bugs.
Well, I mean, if we're rich enough to hire someone to kill bugs for us, there probably won't be an apartment anymore.
Oh, that's true.
but her husband said no, so I don't know if it's going to happen.
Do you plan to become this rich? Is this
I would like it. To not have to kill bugs myself.
You know, there's these things called exterminators.
No, okay, so we'll get exterminators, but then, like, what if there's a stray bug? What do we do? You can't just call it exterminator.
It's going to die quickly because it was exterminated.
I mean, I think in apartments where bugs are a problem, exterminators aren't the full solution because, like, if one apartment exterminates and the next one doesn't, the bugs will go there, and then what's safe, they'll go back.
Oh, well, so if there's a whole infestation, then you need to get your landlords on
yeah,
that.
Florida is an infestation of cockroaches.
Okay.
Hi.
Goodbye. Hi. Farewell. Until next time.
On Podgers.
All right, I'm out of here. Okay. Do you guys have to go?
Yeah, we do.
I thought you had plans at 5.
I need to wrap presents for 5.
Yeah, we have 7 minutes. It's fine.
Ashley, how are we? Should I drive you? I
guess. All right, I'm going to stop recording. You guys enjoy your plans.
I have to get dressed.
Whoa.